Kevin, you went to that ice cream museum down in L.A., right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Now that you are a Mr. Museum, have you been down to the 14th Factory? Have you gone down there to see the Hypercane exhibit?
I wouldn't say that I'm Mr. Museum.
Really?
No,
I'm not a big fan of museums.
Well, you have
the ice cream museum bummed me out because there wasn't much ice cream.
Yeah, so you're expecting. You thought it was a Ferrell's.
Correct. Yes.
You're confused when
I
you showed up.
I wanted to order a pig trough and they wouldn't let me.
No, the Hypercane installation. Look, I'll be honest. I don't get a lot of modern art, and I don't get this one because it really just looks like. How would you describe it, Allie, for folks who haven't seen it? It just looks like a bunch of
stuff on boxes.
Yeah.
Just stuff.
It's just a bunch of boxes
Sounds
with stuff
great.
On top of it. It's
yeah.
just, I don't know. I really don't understand why it's art. It doesn't look like it was difficult to come up with. You don't look at it and go, oh, that's pretty, or that is inspirational, or makes me think of things. I don't get why it's so popular. But it is very popular. In fact, it has been one of LA's hottest tickets since this exhibit opened in March. It's sold out all the time with people getting in there to see this exhibit. And it's in the news right now because a couple of weeks ago, a woman turned around, put her back to one of these boxes, and was trying to take a selfie. And somehow she tapped it with her back. And it fell down and hit another one of the boxes and then another one after that. And it was a domino effect, and about 14 of them fell down to the ground. Now,
but it was a great selfie.
That's a big, by the way, I've never seen the selfie. That's interesting. You think that would be part of the story here, right? But that's a big oops. But I was stunned to find out that three of the boxes were permanently damaged at a cost of $200,000 worth of damage.
So wouldn't you think that exhibit would have secured those boxes?
Yes, you would. Why?
That's
would they,
victim blaming.
Why?
But, I know. No, but serious, I'm calling BS fault. On it, actually. But
it's,
yeah.
You don't think it's real?
No.
I think it is. I didn't think it was real until I started to research it, and I think there's no way it's a PR stunt. I think it was actually caught on their security camera, and I think that this is real art that is there now. You can go down and see it now, so why would they subject it to possible damage by letting somebody do this as some sort of a stunt? Plus, they didn't need the publicity. The thing's already selling out every day. What's the advantage of faking something like this?
It's a good point, Bean.
Each sculpture that had fallen involves 20 to 30 hours of man labor, including the artist's conception, the 3D designer's modeling, the metal welders and workers crafting and assembly. But Allie makes an excellent point, especially if you're going to put a bunch of these. And it looks like there's about, I don't know, 30 of them or something like that in this small room. And then you're going to let a big crowd of people. How are they supposed to navigate through that without accidentally bumping into one? I mean, I think it's a bad display.
I think it's a bad display because it looks stupid.
Yeah, well, it does that too.
Stupid art.
So we wanted to get – we thought this was – I don't know what the repercussions are for this. A woman who was visiting the museum, I haven't seen any kind of follow-up that suggests that she's being held accountable or she's got to pay or anything like that. But how embarrassing is it when you break somebody else's stuff? You're out in public or at somebody's house or at somebody's office or something like that, and you break their stuff like she broke their stuff.
Yeah, that doesn't seem good. Mm-mm. As you might expect, I have a couple of examples.
Oh, really? Because we're gonna take some calls from the Kevin and Bean listener at 1-800-520-1067. You broke somebody else's stuff. That's the topic on the table here this morning that we want to hear about. And Kevin, let's hear some of yours.
I mean, I didn't ever do $200,000 worth of damage, but I broke a glass door at our house because I was trying to shoot a basketball from across the street,
and it
hit the glass door and it just shattered.
Wow.
I threw an orange at my neighbor, not Robbie Joyner, the different one.
Oh, no.
And it broke his parents' bedroom window.
Okay.
I broke our window while I was practicing by myself in the living room batting Nerf batting. And I had an actual piece, just a stick of wood. It slipped out of my hand and went through a window. And at one point, my dad came to me and he was serious. And he said, the insurance is no longer going to cover you for broken glass.
No.
Because I had broken.
You broke so much.
They said, we're done.
Hey, let me go back to throwing oranges at your neighbor's house.
We were having an orange fight like you do.
Yeah.
Oh, so there was somebody else involved in the fight. It wasn't just you pelting.
He was standing in front of the window, so I blame him.
He should have caught it.
He ducked.
Yeah.
So that's
okay.
On him.
Okay.
All right. Because I was wondering if it was the type of thing that you did, and then you had to decide whether you were going to confess and tell them
no,
you're the one who broke the window. So there was a witness.
Yeah, there was a witness.
It sounded
broke some windows at school. I set a field on fire one
Why
time.
Why were you breaking so many windows?
I don't know.
Do you have a fascination with glass breaking like you do with fire?
Not really. It's just all just having a good time, Bean.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
I set a field on fire. We were coming back from a science fair, and we had matches, and we would drop the match, and it would light the tinder on the ground, and then mm-hmm. we would step on it and move on.
Yeah.
And then we heard sirens, and we turned around and looked, and there was a 3 acres of field on fire. And we saw the fire department and the fire chief, and we had, like, matches and blow torches and stuff in
oh,
our hands.
No.
And we were running across the crosswalk, and he just pulled over and picked us up. So that happened.
That's the type of thing you definitely get arrested for now.
I got it. Yeah, sure. But I think I was like 8th grade or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wrecked a company car when I worked at a computer place. I caught a neighbor's tree on fire when we were having a fireworks fight. That was with Robbie Joyner. Should I keep going or?
Let's squeeze Zach in real quick. He's on line 3. He'll be our first call before the break, and we're taking yours too. And you can text us, same phone number for both, 1-800-520-1067 if you're not able to give us a call. But we want to know, how did you destroy somebody else's property? Good morning, Zach.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Peacocks. I'm over in Rolling Hills, and we have a bunch of peacocks, about 300 in our neighborhood. And
300? Why aren't you on the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices? That's amazing.
I could. They're terrible. They wake you up. They poo everywhere. Anyways, me and my buddy, we like to throw rocks at them or drive around and, I don't know, try to eliminate them. And I threw a big rock, and it took like 6 different hops in different directions and then finally shattered my neighbor's big glass window.
At first, weren't you? 90-year-old. At first, though, weren't you like, that took 6 bounces? That's incredible.
Oh, no. It was like in slow motion. I couldn't believe it was happening.
All right. I need to butt in here and say, don't throw rocks at animals ever. There's no reason
or excuse. If a peacock is keeping you up at night.
You do not throw a rock at it.
Right.
No.
Don't throw rocks at it.
But what happened with the neighbor's glass that you broke? You have to pay for it?
Yeah, we did. Luckily, she is elderly, so she kind of understood, but we did pay for it. And yeah.
Oh, if she's elderly, throw rocks at her.
Right?
Oh my God.
I don't think that's what we're saying, Bean.
All right, Zach, thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. You broke somebody else's stuff. We want to hear your stories next.
Just ahead of Blink-182, let's take one call, and let's make it Joe from Riverside. Hi, Joe.
Hi there.
We're talking about people who broke other people's stuff.
Yes, I was at a friend's house. And he had just put up a brand new TV by his barbecue, and we were playing giant Jenga.
That's like a good combination.
So far, so good. Were you drinking as well?
Yes, I had a lot to drink.
Of course.
I went to pull one of the bottom pieces out very, very fast. And as I pulled it out, it slipped out of my hand, and it went right into his brand new TV.
Oh, my God. Dude. That's awesome.
Did we're you still talking awesome. About Jenga, right?
Did you win the Jenga game?
I think I ran home.
Yeah, I think so. A 55-inch outdoor TV. You know the neighbor was just so proud of that and so happy. I mean, that's a baller move right there. Just don't invite Joe. Thanks for the call, sir. We'll take some more calls right after Blink on the world-famous K-Rock. So a woman goes to a fancy-schmancy museum exhibit a couple of weeks ago, tries to take a selfie, bumps into a piece of art that falls into some other art. Next thing you know, she's done $200,000 worth of damage. That kind of got us on the topic of you destroyed somebody else's stuff. Oh, we're getting some good stuff in here, Kevin. These are your people.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Kate in Santa Barbara, I popped a champagne cork at a friend's house and broke a huge overhead light in her kitchen. That's not what you expect, but I guess those corks got to go somewhere. Cindy writes in, we were at our best friend's house, and my Siberian Husky killed their blue and yellow macaw. It came running over to us with the bird in its mouth. No. That was kind of awkward.
Oh, no.
Leah writes in, I was at the White House for a Christmas event with one of our clients, and I was showing someone a little replica of Bo, the Obama's dog, and broke a piece off. I fessed up to the Secret Service and I said, I'm sorry, I think I broke the White House.
Did
and
they
I
put her down?
I don't think they did. But imagine, look, it's like it's not nerve-wracking enough to be at anybody else's house. You're at the White House.
Wow.
And you break something. And one more, then we'll go back to your calls. Sam from Culver City. When I was 7, I visited a family friend and knocked over a 10 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle that he had been working on for years.
Oh, my God. That's the best.
That's awesome.
All right, 1-800-520-1067, your calls or texts. Let's squeeze in a few more. Let's get our man Oz from Pasadena on the line.
Hey, Oz.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What did you break?
Headstone. I work in a cemetery. I'm the caretaker, and I mow the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Out of nowhere, I had a hard sneeze that caused me to do like a hard reaction, and the mower went off to the beard off and knocked over a headstone.
Oh, man.
It was a riding lawnmower?
Yeah, it was a riding lawnmower. But good thing nothing broke on the headstone or anything, so I was able to pick up that 300 beast and put it back right on up.
Did your sneeze sound like beans?
Sorry. All right, Oz. I'm glad there was no harm done. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
Sorry.
Let's try. Let's go to Jesse on line six, please. Van Nuys. He. I don't know if it's going to be $200,000 worth, but apparently he broke some very expensive artwork as well.
Hey, Jesse.
When I was 10 years old, my parents took us to the San Diego Museum of Art in Balboa Park.
That's on your parents already.
It's their fault.
Right.
Bad on my parents. So we went, and there was an exhibit, and it was a 10-foot, I would say, I mean, I was 10 years old, so I'm just remembering, but a 10-foot tall circle of green plexiglass or glass, I'm not sure what, but it was a circle standing on its edge.
Okay.
The edge was maybe 8 to 10 inches. So it was standing there with no safety rail or anything around it. And because it was transparent, there was a ton of kids around it looking at each other through it and waving and all that. And as I came around the side of it, either I touched it or someone touched it, but it fell. And I stuck my hand out as a gut reaction, and it fell on my hand and shattered into a million pieces.
Oh.
And so I remember distinctly the sound of the I don't know if it was the curator or someone that worked at the museum going, no, 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 no.
I mean, look, if you're 10 years old, it's kind of understandable. You know, you don't know.
By the way, you're not at a party until somebody's saying, no, 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 no.
No, no, no.
That means you're at a good party.
There was a ton of kids around and no safety rail. So initially the museum was threatening my parents saying, we're going to stick you for the bill for this thing and blah, blah, blah. And then my dad smartly said, all right, well, then my son needed stitches, so we're going to sue the hell out of you. And
nice.
we never heard from the museum again.
That's a great comeback,
Dad. How about that?
Way to go. Looking after his boy. All right, thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's do one more. Let's do Isaac in Whittier. He's on line five, please.
All right, Isaac, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, hi. I'm a big fan of you guys.
Thank you. What did you break?
I actually broke a glass that covered my aunt's coffee table when I was staying with her in Mexico.
I was a little bit surprised to not see more coffee tables up here, because glass coffee tables, I feel like that's a poorly designed piece
of
furniture
just
to have
for it.
They really kind of are. There's so many different ways to put stuff down on it or fall on it or turn it over or whatever.
Especially if I'm around. Or Isaac. How did you break it, Isaac?
So my brother and I really like go at it. So we're in the living room, and he made me mad. I don't know how he made me mad. I was about 4 years old, and I walk up to the coffee table, and I had a mug in my hand, and I just slammed it down on the table because I was so mad, and it just shattered.
You were four?
Yes.
Isaac is a very buff four.
Isaac is the Incredible Hulk. That's crazy.
All right, Isaac. Well, we don't want to get you mad, so we'll just say thank you for calling. We appreciate it, sir.
How's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Sorry, me?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
What's your name?
Is that really important?
It is if we're going to become friends. What are you doing for Christmas this year?
Probably go spend it with family.
Mind if I come along?
Not enough room for that.
I'm making fudge over here. I could bring that. Yeah, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Good.
Don't you just love Christmas time?
Oh, yeah.
You making a Yule log or eggnog?
What's that?
You making a Yule log or eggnog? One or two?
Oh, two.
How's that going for you? I'm making something over here that looks a lot like a fruitcake. Can you take a second and tell me the story of the baby Jesus?
All the animals and all the wise men.
Yeah. What's up with all that?
I don't know.
Have a good one.
Thanks.
Hey, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Fine.
What's your name?
Brian.
Brian, don't you just love Christmas? My belt buckle is made out of mistletoe.
Why don't you shut the f*** up?
Hey, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
I know.
What's your name? Dude, what's your name?
Not now, man.
You like Christmas time like I do? Dude, you like Christmas time?
No, no.
You know what I call my penis? You know what my nickname is for my penis?
Excuse me?
You know what my nickname is for my penis? Jolly old Saint Dick.
I don't want to hear this, man.
Come on, it's Jolly Old Saint Dick.
Keeping an eye on the fires, and we'll give you more information as it becomes available on the Kevin and Bean Show on
K-Rock. Don't come to us for information on the fires.
I mean, we have some.
Okay. I just say it in general.
Don't come to us for anything serious, but we do have some actual serious people who are covering it, and we will get to them as well.
Also, comedian Rhys Darby on the program today, and we are going to be giving away yet more tickets for both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Tuesday Christmas, which are this weekend at the Forum, so that's all coming up this morning on K-Rock.
Right now it's time for the top five callers of the year. We do these countdowns at the end of the year every year, and this is our top five favorite callers.
You call the Kevin and Bean Show, who are minds. Good, bad, or crazy, you're the one that shine. Come on, baby, let's count it down. Cause we have the best callers around. Top callers of the year. Top callers. Top callers of the year. Top callers.
Number five is a guy named Alex. And we were talking about you bought something online and something else showed up. And the way he argued his point was genius.
Let's go to Alex, line two, please. He's in Corona. Now, here's a guy. It sounds like this year got ripped off. Alex, what happened?
What up? So I was at this funeral, right? And, well, I had seen, like, these kids, like, playing with these fidget spinners. I want to see what, like, the whole deal is. So I ordered one online, and I got a cheese grater instead.
A cheese grater?
Yeah. Joke's on you. I like grated cheese, though.
Oh, my God. I love Alex so much. Oh, my God.
Joke's on you. I like cheese, though. Like, was any of that story true?
Right.
I doubt it. This is from Keep It 100, and it involves a moment with Bean. I'm not even positive if we've meant... Oh, we didn't do that one yet. I'm sorry. My bad. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm too excited. Number four is a guy who's calling about the all-woman screening of Ghostbusters.
Uh-huh.
And his arguing technique is beyond reproach.
It's like if the Alamo Drafthouse wanted to show Get Out for just black people.
It's not like that at all, though.
Come on, man!
I mean, it... So your response is, come on, man!
Dude.
Come on, man!
Come on, man.
In Ben's defense, come on, man, was his defense.
It's not my favorite defense.
Come on, man. All right, so that was number four. That was an odd, he gave up quickly and just said, come on.
He did.
All right, now it's Anna from Keep It 100. It involves a moment with Bean and then her questioning how many hoops she has to jump through just to make a request.
Anna's cool. Anna's going to pick up. I feel good about her.
Anna's cool.
How do you know anything about her?
Because she's
dodging her call.
Anna!
Hey, Anna.
What happened? We called and you didn't answer. Why are you shining us like that?
I'm sorry. I just turned on the speaker. I couldn't hear what you guys said.
Ah.
Well, we said welcome to the program and welcome to the weekend. How are you, my dear?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We want to hear your story, Anna. You are what's your deal? Where do you live? What do you do? What's your deal?
Just to request the song, I got to tell you my whole life.
I mean, no, yeah. You can just give us a quick summary.
Anna just nailed you, Bean. Yeah.
Just to request a song, I have to tell you my whole life.
She's not wrong. We did make her jump through too many hoops.
Number two is you slept in late for work. And Eric is a listener who pays attention because he knows that when people's stories start to wander, Bean starts to play the phone sound effect, in essence, to play them off.
Right.
And he sort of felt it coming. Let's go to Eric in Montebello. Hi, Eric.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
So this was like this was a while back.
Okay.
And I pretty much blame you guys for this whole disaster.
This is our fault.
Because what happened was I was working for about 3 days straight. It was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then I had a schedule from – it was bouncing around from 1 to 5, 5 to 1, so I just kept hearing 1 to 5, 5 to 1. And then the last day, I had to be there at 5 in the morning. Well, what happened was I actually slept on the day before. I slept until, like, I don't know, maybe like 12 in the afternoon. So – or no, I went to sleep at 12 and then woke up like at 5 p.m.
Right. You didn't hear that one.
So now I'm on my way to work at 5. I knew it!
You could tell that his story was going so poorly, he was anticipating the phone sound effect.
Look, you can't come in here with that story and not expect to be played off, right?
And number one for me, and I'm already getting flack from everybody, so we might need to add some a little bit later on this morning. But number one for me was we were talking about proposals. And this guy called in, and he was my favorite caller of the year.
Brother JD, all right? You're on the air, sir.
Me and my lady... We rode the roller coaster right there, state line, at Buffalo Bills when it first opened up, Desperado. So anyway, I figured I'd ask her to marry me on that coaster going up that hill. So I called him up, and I told him, hey, how about on that steak and egg sign out front, you guys change it every once in a while. It must be pretty easy on the computer. So how about putting up there, Lexi, I love you. Will you marry me, right, as we're going up the coaster? So up that coaster I went. And I had that ring in my pocket, and I was just worried for that thing to fly out as we're cruising up the coaster.
Uh-huh. I got to tell you, there are some people whose stories go on, and we want to cut them off.
Right, not him.
There are other people that we want just to talk all day.
Yeah.
You take all the time you need.
She looks to the right.
Right.
There on the sign. Uh-huh. Lexi, I love you. And bam, she turned around and said, yep, that's us. I said, look, life's got a lot of twists and turns, ups and downs.
USA! USA!
Right?
USA!
That was a private proposal and perfect, right?
I love Brother JT.
Let me tell you what. That's legendary, my boy. Legendary.
As are you. Thank you for calling.
Come on.
I forgot about Brother
That's
JT.
Legendary, my boy.
All That's right, we got great. Some others we will play for you a little bit later on this morning, but that is the top five colors of the year.
Top colors of the year. Top colors. Top colors of the year.
Bachelorette on last night, so in about 10 minutes, we've got another Kevin and Bean Bachelorette report coming up. It is 22 minutes after 7 o'clock.
You have been out for a couple of days, and while you were gone...
A lot has changed.
A lot has changed.
Yeah. A lot.
First of all, fire must cleanse us. But second of all, not only did I have a moment with, I did something that I don't think I have ever done in my entire radio career.
Sweet.
And that is, and you're not going to believe this, that is accidentally say the F word on the radio.
What?
Yes.
Yep.
Accidentally?
Yes. Not for comedy. Not like Ralph does, where he just throws it down there just to get a reaction out of us. No, this was in conversation, completely out of the blue, with no pretense or malice. It just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome.
I mean, are you surprised to hear that happened? Because neither of us are big swearers in real life.
Right.
I mean, we swear for comedy, right?
Sure.
But it just happened.
But you less than me, even.
Yes.
Way less.
Yeah.
Hey, take it easy.
I'm just saying.
I mean, Chip was like, come on, Bean. Like, I think Chip said, aren't you the one person I shouldn't have to have my finger on the button for? Allie, you were stunned.
I was stunned. But the most stunned was Bean, which made it so much better.
Yeah, that's the best.
So for folks listening now, you probably didn't hear it. So this was in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday. We had on the showrunner for this NFL Films program on Amazon called All or Nothing. It starts Friday, by the way. It's about the 2016 Rams season. It's a great show.
That's kinda a like, great series.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kind of like they did the Cardinals last year.
Yep.
The Cardinals, right?
Yep.
Kind of like HBO Hard Knocks. Anyway, so we had him on, and it was near the end of the interview, and I was mentioning that it was great that they had John Hamm as the narrator this year. So I just want to talk a little bit about how awesome John Hamm is.
Wanted to do to him?
And wow. Close.
Oh.
Somehow, this is what came out.
I was kidding.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You got John Hamm back as your narrator again this year. He's pretty dreamy, right?
You're the worst.
I mean, let's be honest, Keith. Let's just be men here. I mean, he is... effing amazing, right?
Did you just cuss, Bean?
I did.
Are you
I've never
serious?
Done that
John Hamm just made you cuss?
That was a moment with Bean.
In defense of Bean, he's not wrong.
He is not. I agree 100%.
That's awesome.
But the fact that he said the word, then immediately backed it up with effing, in case we didn't know what that word was.
Yeah, like amazing. Somehow that was going to erase the bad word by doing that.
But the way delay works, if Chip got out of delay, no one heard the first word. So mm-hmm. when Bean says effing, they would hear
Maybe.
That.
Maybe, yeah.
And Bean knew that.
Okay.
Not credit. Even a little bit. And it really, I'm not going to lie, it shook me.
Oh, it's not that big a deal.
No, it did. Because it never has happened before, and I think I expect a certain level of professionalism. Even on this show, I feel like there's some things...
When does that start?
Because I feel like there's some things I know I can't say.
Right.
It should never cross my mind to say it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
I was disappointed in me.
We're all disappointed in you, but not for that. Normal conversation, that kind of word comes up a lot.
Of course. And it happens frequently where somebody says it on the air. It's usually a caller or a guest who's just having a conversation. That's how people talk. And
it's
they just
anyone but Bean.
It's
anyone but Bean.
So I wasn't happy with that. Want to hear it again?
Yeah.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You got John Hamm back as your narrator again this year. He's pretty dreamy, right?
You're the worst.
I mean, let's be honest, Keith. Let's just be men here. I mean, he is effing amazing, right?
Did you just cuss, Bean?
I did. I've never done that before.
Sean Hamm just made you cuss?
That was A Moment with Bean.
I'm happy with that.
Let me add a P.S. to this because it happened yesterday, and I don't know if we'll have time otherwise to play this. This is another great piece of tape that I want to play, and that is Dan Stevens, who, Kevin, you love from Legion.
Yep.
Beauty and the Beast star. I know him and love him from Downton Abbey. He's doing a press tour right now for his new sci-fi film called Kill Switch, I think. And he's on a British TV show, and a woman who's interviewing him says something. But she, unlike me, she didn't realize what it was she said on the air. And everybody else is laughing around her, and she's just so confused, but presses on with the interview, and I think you'll enjoy this. Again, Dan Stevens from yesterday.
This is you as an All-American, and a big opportunity for you in Hollywood. You must have had to beat off a lot of American men.
Okay. Now, that's not what she means.
No.
How do you know? Beat out a lot of American men, a lot of competition for the role, and you'll hear that the other, her co-host and the actor Dan Stevens start cracking up. She's going on because she doesn't know.
You must have had to beat off a lot of American men to get this part. Why does that make you giggle? Did you not have to beat them off?
She still doesn't know. And by the way, you hear all the crew laughing in the background, all the people behind the cameras and whatnot. They just can't believe it's happening.
Why does that make you giggle? Did you not have to beat them off?
You had to get the role. There was quite a few men up for the role as well.
So this is her co-host who's jumping in to rephrase the question. You know, to get the role is what she means.
There were.
And compose yourself.
By the way, she's compose yourself as if she's like, she's now ticked at Dan Stevens because, hey, why can't you be professional? I just asked you a reasonable question and you're still laughing. What's up, dude?
Okay, Dan, why are there lots of other Americans up for this role?
I guess there were. When I sat down with the director, Adam Wingard, it was very apparent that we had a very similar twisted sense of humor and we wanted to have a lot of fun with this and make people laugh with it. And that's exactly what you've done to me this morning. And I hope we can do with the guest, you know.
So there you go.
By the way, I've been in that position as well where everyone else is laughing.
Yeah.
And you're sort of trying to think back through what you said and how you could have screwed up. That happens to me a lot.
Oh.
It's weird. It's weird when everybody's laughing. You go, okay, they all get something.
And a lot of times, if it's something good, you'll say, what did I do? Not knowing that, no, it's just funny.
Well, it's just an assumption.
Yeah.
On my part, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
And she beat him off.
Yeah.
All right, good times. Watch our language, people. Bean.
Right?
Bean.
I know. I believe me.
Pay attention. I hate people that don't pay attention to the rules.
Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness is tomorrow night at the Shrine. It's going to be a great night of comedy with all the proceeds going to some great local charities. And we have one pair of tickets left up close in the That's My John section that you can win just after 9 o'clock this morning. We'll tell you how coming up in just a few minutes. But first, Allie McKay, this is perfect for you.
I'm into it.
The Los Feliz Murder House. You think there's hiking in the neighborhood? Do you think there's a possibility you could?
Well, it's in Los Feliz, so there's hiking around, but that house just screams murder.
It does scream murder. In fact, it's infamous for the murders that were committed therein. 2475 Glendower Place in Los Feliz. It is on the market for $2.75 million. Now, it looks like a great house, by the way. It's beautiful from the outside. Spanish Revival mansion built in 1925. Has four bedrooms, three bathrooms, big kitchen, large dining room, a library, a study, a ballroom, complete with a bar.
I feel like you're burying the lead here.
Oh, yeah, and a bunch of people got murdered in it. But look, let's not dwell on the past, Kevin.
He's giving us the square footage of the freaking kitchen.
Concept in the kitchen. It's delightful.
Yeah. Why are you the guy who always has to point out the negatives here?
I'm saying this particular house, that's the reason it's in the news.
It's called the murder house.
It
is the Los Feliz murder house. So what happened was a family that lived there, Dr. Harold Perelson and his family, and one night he woke up in 1959 and he
I mean, technically, he bludgeoned his wife to death with a hammer, and then he took pills to commit suicide before the police got there. So, okay, so maybe the parents died in the house.
But did they have a nice walk-in closet?
He also tried to kill the daughter, but
she got away.
Kind of missed her head, so she ran and got help. And then the other two kids, he said, "You're having a nightmare. Go back to sleep."
Oh, dear Lord.
So a neighbor comes over and
did all
at that
three
point,
of them have their own room?
Yes, they did. As a matter of fact, they did. There are four bedrooms and three bathrooms, Kevin.
Nice. Wood floors, so look, wood floors.
There are a lot of people who would look at this, and I think this is it. I think this is interesting. There are a lot of people who would look at this house and go, I don't care how great the location is. I don't care how well priced it is or how many amenities there are or for the schools in the neighborhood are great. I can't live in a house where there's been a murder-suicide. I'm out. But I think there are a lot more people who would go, it's not the house's fault. You know what I mean? The house is just standing there. It hasn't been lived in for 50 years. I'm going to buy it because it looks like a good deal. Where do you guys come down on this? Would it bother you? Would you eliminate a house that otherwise you would live in just because a tiny incident happened that may have marred its history?
That sounds a little more like a bigger incident. I think I would probably avoid that.
Really?
But having said that, like, I don't know why.
Huh.
Because I agree with Bean. It's not like the house, as far as I know, did the killing.
Yeah, the house. I mean, this was the doctor and a hammer who did the killing.
Plus,
it wasn't
sounds like a pretty sweet house, according to Bean's description.
Yeah.
Right. So. All right. So you would say you would be uncomfortable. If you could find a comparable house elsewhere where there hadn't been a murder-suicide, you would prefer that.
Probably, yes.
Yeah. I mean, when you put it like that.
I mean, I think I would prefer non-death in my house.
Well, somebody died where I live.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
It hasn't affected you at all.
In the house where you live now?
Yes.
There was a death.
Yeah, and Allie talks about dying every day, by the way.
True.
See what it's done to her?
She wasn't murdered. She just died there. And I feel like she died happy, and it was her home, and she loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But I see her, and I feel her. Like, she's there.
All right. This is not ghost story talk, Allie. That's not what we're doing here. Did they have to disclose that to you before you moved in?
No, because it was years and years and years ago, so other people have lived there since.
Well, this seems like a burn then, because this was built in 1925. So how is it known as the murder house?
Yeah, right. You kill one lady, and all of a sudden your house forever is known as the murder house.
And I think maybe there's different situations. If someone was bludgeoned to death, that's a little different than passing away in your sleep.
Yeah, you're right. They probably don't even have to mention if just a regular person died of natural causes.
Yeah. I wonder if there's even another group of people, and those are the people that this appeals
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. I'd be into this house.
It's not just if you see it and you find out the history, maybe you change your mind or not. This is, would you pick it because of this?
Yeah, I bet you're right.
And
I bet there are people.
That's Bean.
I got no problem with it. It sounds like a deal to me. What kind of calls are we looking for? We want to open up the phones on this at 1-800-520-1067. Are we looking for those people who love it, those people who would never live there? What do we want?
How about both? If you would love it.
Why not
it,
both, Bean? It's America.
It's America. Both.
All right. Your feelings on murder houses, and I'd also like to know, 1-800-520-1067, I'd also like to know if we have any listeners out there who live in a house where a bad thing happened and what that's like for you. That would be, look at this. Look at Alyssa calling on Lomita, our first caller through here.
Alyssa?
Hi.
Whoa.
What's going on?
So we moved into a house like 2 months ago that the previous owner had committed suicide in.
And how'd you know that?
Holy moly.
Wow.
Did they tell you?
Yeah, they have to. They have to disclose it if you're like on the market. I mean, but we needed a place to live. So we were like, who cares?
It's that kind of in-depth thinking that I enjoy.
It didn't give you any kind of pause to think you're not a person who believes in, you know, bad vibrations or bad karma or a disturbance in the forest. You didn't feel like there was going to be any kind of carryover from the previous tenant.
I mean, we had new counters and new paint, so we were just like, sure, it's fine.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Do you ever think about that as you're going through your day in your house? Do you ever go, hey, what?
Yes. I mean, you know, if like something weird happens in the house, we named the ghost Hank because we weren't sure. We don't know like the backstory, but if something goes wrong, we just were like, oh, that's just Hank like being, you know, dead.
Just being Hank being dead.
That's just Hank being all dead.
How did Hank do it, if you know, Alyssa?
We think it was the oven because when we bought the house didn't have like a stove.
Oh, I see. So at least you're not using Hank's oven.
That's just Hank cooking all dead and stuff.
That's just Hank cooking all dead. All right, Alyssa, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. If you've had one of these events happen in the place where you live or used to live, we want to hear from you. If this appeals to you and you'd like a house like that, we want to know why. Or if you're terrified, what's the reason? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
I'm looking at these pictures of the murder house in Los Feliz, and it looks like it's got a lot of light in the kitchen. Kevin, are you sure you don't want to reconsider?
Yeah,
I mean, I know the doctor killed his wife with a hammer and then committed suicide, but it still looks like a pretty sweet place.
I feel like I wouldn't rule it out. You know?
Okay. It's under $3 million in Los
Feliz. What kind of fridge does it have?
It doesn't say, but it's from 1925, so it may not be much of a fridge. Hey, Kevin Bean, some states do require the sellers to disclose if someone has died in a house that you were buying within the last X many years. In California, I think it's about 3 years. I believe they also have to tell you the manner of death. Unless it involves a case of someone who had AIDS. Why would they make that exception, Natalie? Uh-huh. I only learned this 2 years ago when I bought my house and the old man who had been living there had died in the house. I am not sure if I would have bought it if the cause of death was more violent versus old age. So she's a person who would probably not be buying anything referred to as a murder house in the news. Sounds like. Actually, I think Elizabeth is also in that stripe as well. She's online too. She's in Sherman Oaks and she's up first here on the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, guys.
You bought a murder house?
We did not buy a murder house. We were looking at a murder house, and halfway through our tour, the real estate agent says to us, you know, I'm legally obligated to tell you this house is for sale because the owner was recently murdered in the driveway.
Oh, my God.
So it's the driveway.
It wasn't even in the house.
Oh, come on.
But there were definitely mystery stains in the driveway, so that was a hard no for us.
But, Elizabeth, help me understand this, because I know that there are a lot of people like you, maybe even more like you than like me, but
help me
understand why you were afraid of this house just because something that happened before you even got there that will really have no effect whatsoever on the property.
Well, it had only been about 6 months beforehand, and they never solved what happened. They never found the murderer, so it was a little bit too creepy for us. We were like, you know, is this something about the house? Is there something going on here? It was just like, there's a lot of houses for sale. This is not the one for us.
Okay, so that at least makes sense because there's a mystery involved into why he died, and you were afraid that there might be a killer living next door, and you just didn't want to be a victim.
Okay, totally.
That makes sense. All right, thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Where do you want to go? Ken, we got a lot of good calls here.
Let's go to Brenda in East Whittier. Hi, Brenda.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hi.
We purchased our home about 2 years ago, and we bought it 2 months after the original owner died in the home.
2 months?
He died in August, and we bought it in October. And the house had been on the market like one day when we walked in and we looked at a house and our agent had to disclose.
Were you upset that you couldn't buy it in September?
Well, it wasn't on the market then. Ah. The wife and husband died of lung cancer. The other one died of old age. But they died in our master bedroom separately at separate points in time.
Okay.
And she had to disclose that to us. And, you know, most people, she said, are weirded out by that, but I have to disclose that. We were okay. We put in the offer.
You were fine.
Nice.
We were fine. We were fine with it.
I would bet that if it doesn't bother you, you probably have a better shot at getting it because it does wig some people out and they walk away from it just because of that.
Well, yeah, but the caveat was that the sellers, the children of the couple, had to meet the new family, which was kind of odd for us. They met us in a home inspection. And they started telling us the story. The grandchildren are there. I mean, the whole family was there during our home inspection. And they shared the story of the home. They were the original owners. They were two daughters. We're a couple with two daughters, two very odd.
Brenda, they're going to murder you.
Yeah, I got news for you. There's no dying of old age in this story.
And it's weird because the guy was 35, too. That was the weirdest part.
All right, well, this may be one of the last phone calls you ever make, Nicole, so I'm glad you chose to make it with us. Thank you very much. Let's go to Rich in Burbank.
I'm going to miss Brenda.
She was great. I'm really going to miss her. Rest in peace, Brenda.
All right, where are we going?
Let's go to Rich, line 7, please. He's in Burbank. Rich has got one of those murder houses that we like so much. Welcome to the show, sir. What's going on?
Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys. So it's not so much a murder as it is a suicide place.
All right.
The okay. story is I've been there for about a year, and I kept getting the guy's mail who lived there before me. So one day I decided to Google his name, and, of course, the obituaries pop up, and I see that this guy died about 6 months before I moved in. So now my mind is kind of racing, oh, how did this guy die? You know, was it old age or whatever? And I look, and he's, like, 45, so he's kind of young. I start talking to one of my neighbors, and she's like, oh, yeah, that's the apartment where the guy hung himself in the shower.
What? Oh. And they didn't tell you that?
They didn't tell me. I actually looked into it because I was thinking about using that as leverage to lower the rent. But I think the law in California is you have to ask. If you don't ask, they don't have to tell you.
Is that true? Oh, now that's interesting, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So do you think about this guy every morning when you're in that shower where he died?
And if so,
well, I shower at night, so every night. Yeah.
It's, oh, wow.
Here's what I love. Here's what I love. Rich's first thought is maybe I can get my rent lowered.
Yeah, well done, Rich.
I'm not proud, but yeah.
Great call, sir. Thank you very much. Let's talk to Marco. He's a landlord, if I'm reading this correctly. Line 5, please. He's in Los Angeles. Marco, you are up next on the Kevin Amin Show. Let's talk murder house.
Hey, Marco.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
So, you're a landlord.
We thought you were calling us to talk.
Sorry.
Did we get that wrong?
Yeah, you guys got it right. Sorry, man.
Okay.
Okay, so about 2 years ago, a tenant in one of our units passed away, and
now wait, let me just qualify. Was it murder, or was it just passed away?
No, it was natural causes.
Okay.
But what happened is he had no family here, so nobody knew about it. So he was in his unit for about 2 weeks until one of the neighbors noticed that there was a funny smell coming out of the apartment, and we went. And, yeah, it turned out the guy was dead. And as I was there, I looked at the kitchen, and I was like, whoa, this unit is pretty nice, and the view was pretty sweet.
What?
The view was sweet. Like,
you were scoping his apartment as he's laying there dead.
No. I mean, he wasn't there. We knew that, you know, they were taking him out and everything.
Oh, okay.
But, okay, so he's on a stretcher, and you were checking out the view.
Right. Nice for the living, Kevin. You got to move on.
What a great view this has.
By the way, this exact same thing just happened on Brooklyn Nine-Nine a couple of weeks ago, where a couple of the cops went to an old lady who died, and they realized how awesome her apartment was, and they both applied to live in that apartment before they left the building after the investigation. When real estate is hot, man, you got to go for it.
No, and we renovated the place. We put everything brand new, and I'm living there. I've been living there for about a year and a half. Pretty
all right.
Sweet.
Nope. All right. Thank you, Marco. Let's get, I know we're running late, but let's get one more call in. This is Nicole, and this is a person who would really go out of her way to buy a murder house.
Excellent.
Hey, Nicole.
Hi.
So living in a murder house, that's thumbs up from you.
Yeah. Actually, the apartment I live in, somebody died in it. We were actually looking at 2 units in our apartments, and the leasing agent said, oh, okay, well, I have to let you know one of these somebody has passed away, and my husband's like, is that okay? I'm like, yes, definitely.
Couldn't have answered yes faster.
Wait, but you had the option of another apartment as well?
But she preferred dead apartment.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what do you think? I mean, articulate that for me. What's the draw for you?
I don't know. I just think death is interesting, and I don't know. I've always been drawn to it ever since I was young, like, I don't know. Me and my friends go to houses that we've heard that people have died in. If they're abandoned, we try to get inside, do exploration.
Nicole, put your husband on the phone.
He hasn't been seen in 3 months, Kevin. What are you talking about?
Make sure he's still able to speak.
Nicole, I'm just sad that we're both married. It sounds like we would have been perfect together. Thanks for the call. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Hit it, Steve.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus for the boys and girls. He's got a sleigh full of toys and goodies and a bag of squirrels. He don't care who the children are, he loves them all the same. So be glad and don't be sad when Santa screws up your name. Santa Claus, Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho.
Hey, Santa Claus.
And Merry Christmas, Kevin and Big.
Merry Christmas to you.
And Merry Christmas to Tam and May and Ralph and May and everybody here right here at the big old K-Rock. World famous K-Rock. Santa Claus love being here every year. This is a hell of a tradition.
It certainly is.
How long Santa Claus been coming down his chimney and getting in you?
We were thinking
Santa Claus been coming.
I think 21 years.
It's been around 20, 21 years.
What the hell? I know. That's beating a joke to death. That's what that is.
Well, look, it's not a joke for the kids who are on the phone, Santa Claus. We have little boys and girls who want to talk to you and ask you for something for Christmas. Do you
mind? That's a good thing, Bick. That's a big thing right there.
All right.
Bick come out. Bick say thing not true, and that's what Santa Claus here for Bick. And Santa Claus going to bring Bick some good stuff, too.
So 1-800-520-1067. I'd like to introduce you to a listener in Baldwin Park, Santa Claus. She's a little girl named Akira, and she joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Akira.
What? Akira? Ain't that a dog name? Akira?
No,
that's a dog.
You're thinking of an Akita. This is Akira. This is a little girl named
Akira.
Okay,
that's right. Oh, Kira.
She's on the phone.
Okay, Kira, have you been a good boy or girl for Christmas this year?
A good girl.
And have Santa been watching you? You know that, right, Kira?
Yes.
Okay, and what you want Santa Claus to bring you for Christmas time this year? Because Santa Claus would love to bring you something nice and shiny.
A bicycle,
because
mine is broken.
Oh, something happened to your old bicycle because you got too heavy?
She's not too
heavy. No.
Well, what?
Some of the, like...
That's the thing about kids. Santa Claus focus on physical fitness.
Right.
Santa Claus lift weight. Santa Claus lift rocks. Santa Claus always repairing fence.
But she didn't say and how her little bike was girls, broken.
Get so big and fat.
I don't.
And what you weigh right now, Kira?
Oh, come on.
Good thing she ain't on Santa Claus' lap because he'd be broken like the bike. Okay, Kira.
Yeah.
Now, Santa Claus going to bring you a new bike. What color bike were you looking for?
A blue bike.
Okay, that's like the Slurpee that you eating too much of. So Santa Claus going to bring it, and you keep being good because there's still 2 weeks. And if things go south, Santa ain't bringing nothing.
All
okay,
right, Kira. Merry Christmas, sweetheart. Thank you for calling. Oops, that's the wrong button. Let's go to line. Give me line 5, if you would, please, Kevin. Let's bring Julian into the conversation. He's in Pasadena. Julian, you're on with Santa Carl.
Hello, okay. Hello, Julian. What's happening?
Hi,
and. Julian, are you a boy or girl this Christmas?
Boy.
Okay, but how come named Julianne? Oh, parents, that's what we call liberal parents.
No, it's Julian. His name is Julian.
That's what's happening in this country right now. Okay, Julianne, what you want for Christmas time this year from Santa Carl?
A tablet.
Santa Carl once, when was in college, took tablet of... LDS.
Right. Oh, no. LSD?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Santa Claus got all crazy and saw all kind of crazy things. Santa Claus saw a tiger with feet. That's right. And not like them paws that on regular tiger, human feet on this tiger
okay.
here.
Okay.
So Santa Claus going to say no.
I think Julian's talking about electronic equipment like an iPad. Is
okay,
what he's
well,
for.
You
that's
go get that at the Best Buy.
All right. Thank you, Julian. Okay. Appreciate the call, sir. Let's go to, how about little Ava in Huntington Beach? She's 5 years old, Santa Claus.
Oh, that sounds so cute. Hello, Ava.
Hello.
Happy Christmas, Ava. How old are you today?
6.
What the heck? Big say you 5, and now you say 6. And this is a scandal right here. Okay, Ava, have you been a good little boy or girl this year?
A good girl.
A good girl. And you've been doing all your chores?
Yes.
Yeah, and you've been definitely washing dishes with Mama and Daddy?
Yes.
Okay, so what you want for Christmas this year, Ava?
A Hatchimal?
What the hell is that? What?
It's a little toy,
Sorry, Ava. What the hell, Hatchimal?
I have a Hatchimal at home in the
Ava have one Hatchimal looking for another Hatchimal to make a mate. And then have baby Hatchimal all over the house. Now, Santa Claus, when he was a kid, had Habitrail, not Hatchimal. And the Habitrail, in the Habitrail, they're a little like squirrel without no tail. It's a, called a gerbil. And Santa Claus, when he was a kid, loved to shoot them little gerbils.
Oh, no, yep.
It was good training for squirrel hunting many times down.
No. So it doesn't need to hear this.
Ava, you know what, Santa Claus going to bring you a Hatchimal, and then you can shoot it with your gun.
Oh, please don't shoot anything.
Yeah.
Ava. All right.
That's good.
Thank you for the call.
And
dear.
There's so many recipes, too, for
Hatchimal
and squirrel.
No,
Santa Claus working
those.
Right now on a drink, squirrel nog, he call it.
That sounds
it's like
terrible.
A nog and with squirrel in it.
Okay.
You understand?
How about one more call? Do you mind talking to which one? You have a preference here, Santa Claus?
Let's see. Santa Claus, let's talk to Ethan here.
Ethan. He's in Santa Monica. He is 4 years old. Ethan, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Say hi to Santa Carl.
Ethan?
Say hi.
Ow!
Hello, Ethan. How old are you, Ethan?
3¾.
Oh, and what you want for Christmas? You been a good boy this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, kids beating you up because your name Ethan?
Yeah.
Well, don't let that happen or Santa Claus will bring coal right down there, stocking and throat. So... Tell Santa Claus what you're looking for Christmas time this year.
Blue bicycle.
You want a bicycle? Oh, well, there's a chubby kid down the block named Kira who have a broken one that you can have if you want. Yep.
I don't think he wants a broken one.
No. Ethan? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. What else you want for Christmas time?
Talking about the flying Christmas tree.
Hey, Dad, back away from the phone. Santa Carl's got this. Something about a flying Christmas tree, I heard?
What the hell? Now, that's that tablets that we was talking about before. Santa Carl did one time take another tablet and saw a flying Christmas tree himself.
Right.
And it was crazy. Santa Carl got real scared that right. He curled up in the fetal position. And you ever curled up in the fetal position? Oh, hell. That's a scary thing. Somebody had to come put a blanket on Santa Carl.
Ethan, Merry Christmas. Thank you for
calling. That's a hell of a way to go out. Let's take one more.
Right, okay, sure.
Number two.
Number two is going to be Reno.
That's a good number.
Reno is at Eastvale, 4½ years old. Reno, say hi to Santa Carl.
Hi, Santa.
Hello, Reno. How you doing?
Good,
Reno. You've been a good boy. Reno, who the hell named Kim Reno?
It's Reno.
That's even worse.
Maybe that's where the child was conceived, Santa Carl. I don't know.
Why your parents name you after the second most appealing city in the state of Nevada?
He doesn't know. He's 4½, Santa Carl.
Okay. What you want for Christmas this year, Reno?
Can I have the Peppa Pig game, Pop the Pig game?
You want a pig?
I think it's a toy, Santa Carl. I think it's called Pop the Pig.
Santa Carl don't know about toys. Santa Carl, a man, okay?
Okay.
Santa Carl like truck. Santa Claus like gun. Santa Claus, that's it. That's all Santa Claus like, truck and gun. So that's what Santa Claus.
What?
You want a Hot Wheel truck? That's what Santa Claus like.
Hot back.
What the hell going on here?
That's a good question.
Listen, hot back. You figure out what you want. You write Santa Carl letter. Why the hell kids calling in anyway? Write Santa Carl letter so Santa Carl don't have to make no
call in. You come in every year and talk to the kids.
Well, that was a mistake.
Santa Carl. Yeah. Every year I'm convinced it's the last time we'll ever see him. But ladies and gentlemen, it's Santa Carl.
Well, that's good. Kevin and Big, it's so good to see y'all.
Merry Christmas.
And remember, if you don't have anything to ask for Santa, go to Oprah Favorite Thing. That's a magazine with all Oprah Favorite Thing in it. And she got so many gift ideas. It's just crazy.
Okay, that's an excellent tip. Thank you, Santa Carl.
By the way, tomorrow, 8 o'clock hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Jim Rome will be here talking sports. Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program like we do on Thursdays. We got Bob Saget on the show tomorrow as well. Looking ahead toward Friday, RJ Bell will be here from Las Vegas talking NFL Week 3. Aisha Tyler on the program. Felice Esparza next week as well. Andrew Siciliano, a lot of good stuff still to come here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
It is Wednesday morning, however, and that means it's time for the Wheel of Bed Animal Voices. Who's with me? Where are the kids?
I'm 100%. Are you kidding me?
Yeah!
I'm with you. The kids are with you. America's with you.
All right.
Bad man, Ralph Garman, is not here to poo-poo it this week, so we can just wade into it and enjoy it.
All right. Here are the stories that are on the wheel. Massive squirrels in a road rage battle.
Oh.
That sounds enticing.
The mysterious exploding zombie caterpillars.
Okay, terrifying.
The artistic stag beetle.
What?
That's not as terrifying, is it?
Mm-mm. I want to talk to the artistic stag beetle.
Oh, wee wee. I cannot come to the phone right now. I am painting.
Let's do that.
I think we should.
The foul-mouthed parrot detained by police.
Oh, that sounds fun, too.
The Australian deer that destroyed a funeral home.
Oh.
And the monkey waiters at a Japanese bar.
Oh, I still love that one. Right? I still like that a lot.
So let's get into it, shall we?
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices.
I think I'm going to be delighted whatever it lands on. This is
right,
a good batch.
Artistic
stag beetle?
Really
swole squirrels?
One. Come on. And it's the massive squirrels in a road rage battle. I don't know if you've ever seen hockey fights.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So they drop their gloves, and then they grab each other. And the grab is the most important part, because that way you can keep them from punching you, and you can play defense at the same time. Then you get an arm loose, then you punch. I'm telling you, these squirrels are doing exactly that. They square off with each other in the middle of a road, and they hold on to each other looking for a way to just, boom! Sucker punch.
It looks like that. It also looks like the ninth round of a heavyweight boxing match where both guys are out of breath.
They're tired.
Tired, yeah, exactly. But they're not giving up, man. They still keep coming.
And these squirrels are huge. Let's not let that go. These are swole squirrels. They're immense.
This article, by the way, where is this? Do we know where this story happened?
In China.
Okay, in China. It says that they're marmots. Now, I've heard the word before, but I'm unfamiliar with a marmot. Apparently, that is a generic name for any of 14 giant ground squirrels. And when we say giant, these things look like they weigh, I don't know, 40 pounds,
easily.
Would you say, Allie?
Easily.
80.
Easy.
Easy.
These are the biggest squirrels I've ever seen in my life, and they are just
110-pound squirrels out
huge.
There.
They are just beating the crap out of each other in this video. It's really amazing. So I'm not sure who Dave was able to line up, but I'm sure we have some sort of a squirrel expert from the zoo or somebody who could talk to us about this story.
Yep, those squirrels at the zoo.
Is this a squirrel expert from the zoo?
What's up, bros? What do you want? Who's calling me?
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock Radio, Los Angeles. Who's this, please, sir?
This is Chuck, the giant ground squirrel. I'm a marmot, goddammit.
What are the chances of that?
Now, oh, like, this guy just cut me off. Nice driving, Helen Keller.
Now, Chuck, are you one of the giant squirrels who's in this video of where you were in a fight with another squirrel?
Yeah, that was my buddy Steve. He cut me off. I was driving along the Chinese interstate, and he cut me off in his Lamborghini, this fancy car. And I got pissed, and I said, hey, you want to go? So we went right there in the interstate.
You sure did.
Yeah!
I mean, the video sort of looks like it may be near the end of the fight, because you're both sort of hanging on for dear life.
Well, look, it was a tough competition, but that's what you get when you pair up two huge giant squirrels against each other.
Right.
You do get a tough competition.
Hey!
Oh, no.
We were going, if you had one eye, you'd be Cyclops!
Okay, well, smack talking, too. So, I'm sorry, was it Chuck?
What? If you had one eye, you'd be Cyclops, goddammit!
All right.
Sick burn!
Now, I'm sorry,
if you just have an eye, I don't know that you'd be Cyclops, but okay.
You didn't have any eyes to begin with,
Take it easy.
Is it Chuck? I'm sorry, are we talking to Chuck?
This is Chuck, yeah!
Chuck, okay. Help settle this discrepancy. We have no idea how much you really weigh. We've everything from 40 to 110 pounds. How much are you weighing in at, Chuck?
I'm 7 kilograms, which estimates out to roughly 68 pounds and 2 ounces.
Wow. 68 pounds. That's a big squirrel, Chuck.
Oh, God. Where'd you learn how to drive? The Braille Institute of China?
Not very different from Helen Keller, but okay.
By the way, Chuck, out of curiosity, how much is 7 kilograms?
I don't know. I just made that up in my head. What do you want?
I'm just saying.
She wants you to do accurate math.
Hold on. This guy doesn't know how to park. The way you pulled in makes me wish your dad pulled out.
Oh, wow, Chuck.
Stay in your lane.
What?
Oh, no.
You want to go?
No. I don't think.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, another fight.
What?
Chuck's got a little bit of a temper.
In a bit. What's that? Oh, this sounds bad.
Chuck?
I think I'm going to start taking the bus.
Oh, you're going to start taking the bus.
Yeah.
Hey, earlier today.
Oh, my God.
Wow. You go.
You brought in the top five callers of the year on the Kevin Bean Show, because we're at the time of the year now where we do start to count down. We're going to have the, you know, we did the top 10 Omar intros already. We got the top 10, the top five callers today. We're going to be doing the moments with. We're going to be doing the sound bites of the year. Was there some controversy about the running order of the bit earlier this morning or what?
I mean, there was mayhem, if that's what you're saying. Yes. I had left out some that other people wanted to be put back in.
We all did.
Yeah.
So there's only a top five.
Every single one of us.
Okay. So basically, I have now come up with a new four. Four new of them, and then one that we used earlier this morning.
Wait, what?
So now we have another top five. Only one is the same as before, and then there's four new ones.
Okay.
So what's the real top five?
I thought you were going to add these onto the old ones.
Well, I mean, then it's not a top five.
Right.
Janky. It's a top nine.
Holy crap.
So this is a new...
So it's a top four, but with one that was from the other one.
You call the Kevin and Bean Show, blew our minds. Good, bad, or crazy, you're the one that shines. Come on, baby, let's count it down. Count it down. Because we have the best callers around. Top callers of the year. Top callers. Top callers of the year.
Now, the one repeat is because it involves Bean and pretty much a moment with. And this was, we were doing Keep It 100. And for some reason, Bean needed to hear the entire life story of Anna.
We want to hear your story. Anna, you are, what's your deal? Where do you live? What do you do? What's your deal?
What? Why? Just to request the song, I got to tell you my whole life.
I mean, no, yeah. You can just give us a quick summary.
Anna just nailed you, Bean. Yeah.
So that was pretty strong.
I am a Team Anna, by the way, hearing that callback. She absolutely did the right thing.
All right, next is a new one. It's Jorge, and he was calling about getting pulled over by the police. Jorge, hi.
Hello, good morning. Hello, Ali.
Hello.
How are you? I was driving on the 101, smoking a ball. Somebody saw me. They reported me. So when the cop pulled me over, he was waiting for me. They asked me if I had any weapons in the car, and I said, yes, I have two guns. So next thing I know, chopper, cars, cops pointing their guns at me. After 20 minutes of searching the car, they didn't find anything, and they go, hey, where are the guns? And I just flexed my arms, and I go, these guns. So I got arrested for that.
You're stupid.
That is just...
No.
You did not do suns out, guns out with the police.
Well,
are you pranking us, or did you really do that to the police?
I don't care.
Check the report, man.
Check the report.
It's
like
so
it's available.
Good.
That guy's lying, right?
I don't care.
You're right. This one is, we were talking about bad surprises when you moved into a new home.
Bad surprises after you move in. Hi, Dee Dee.
So my husband and I, we scrimped and saved to buy our very first house. We're both working two jobs, and we move into the house, and probably, you know, only been there a day, and the neighbors next door had one of those macaw birds. Can I tell you the sound of the bird?
Sure. Could I hear that again?
It's very pleasant.
We stayed for 10 years.
Oh, my God.
10 years.
I hate that bird. The bird's name is Cookie. Cookie, if you're out there, I hope you're dead.
She's got maybe some anger issues.
I think that was very therapeutic of her to be able to come on the air and express that.
The next one of my favorite callers is Andrew, who Allie, and really I think all people, appropriately hated, because he was saying that we were talking movies that you hate that everybody else seems to love, and he said the original Star Wars.
Oh.
Yeah.
The movie that everyone else loved and you hated. Let's bring up Andrew in Inglewood, please, line 8. Andrew. What say you?
I want to say it out loud. Star Wars A New Hope. It is boring.
How dare you?
Andrew,
what is the franchise? The franchise is great, but that's...
Then how can you not like the first movie?
maybe I'm too young. I'm 30. I saw it as an adult. It just doesn't hold up. But the first viewing, seeing it as an adult, it is outdated. Ugh.
It's outdated.
That's how you feel.
You think?
I can't think of a single thing that you could do to improve.
Any day.
Oh, yes, my God. Phone, Andrew. Oh, God.
I said it.
Fire must cleanse us.
I was yelling, get off my phone. And finally, for this particular roundup, Marisol was the one everybody wanted to hear.
Yes.
Because we were doing the topic of you're just too hot, and it really makes life difficult on you.
How are you, Marisol?
Hi, good morning.
Were you surprised to hear that this was going to be a topic on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning?
I was, because I experience this every day.
Same.
All right, tell us what's going on. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
23.
23. And what celebrity do you most resemble?
I don't know, Mexican.
Oh, a Mexican celebrity. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Come on.
Yay!
What celebrity do you resemble?
Mexican? She's lucky she's hot.
Top colors of the year. Top colors. Top colors of the year.
They're the worst, and they added a new member.
Yeah, I'm in, guys.
A new member, DJ Omar Khan, is now part of Hands of Fury. Guys, it doesn't make the song better.
It might even detract, some would say.
Oh, man, you guys don't know.
We're going to have to re-record every song that we play here on K-Rock and add claps. I think we do.
Because people will start requesting
them. Yeah, hey, can we get that Hands of Fury remix? All right.
Right. Yep. Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm in now.
We'll work on that.
Omar, your studio's on fire down the hall. You better go.
I got to go check that. Okay.
There are two types of people in the world. There are people who see another human make an incredible accomplishment, and they go, wow, I'm really impressed. That's great. And then there's Kevin, who says, I don't want anybody to ever do anything good because it somehow reflects poorly on me.
And I don't mind good.
Uh-huh.
But the kid is 9.
He's 9 years old. And he swam to Alcatraz and back, yes.
Right. So the whole rap on Alcatraz, it's our entire lives has been, no one escaped because you can't make the swim from Alcatraz to the land because right. It's too cold, there's currents, you die. It's an impossibility.
Sharks, the whole deal, right.
Right. This 9-year-old swam from San Francisco to Alcatraz and back in less than 2 hours.
So why aren't you impressed? Why aren't you looking at this kid as a phenomenal
athlete? Because he's making all of us look terrible.
But what he does doesn't have any reflection whatsoever on what you do.
Because then I look at myself and I go, how far could I make it?
Right.
And it would be like, I would injure myself diving into the ocean.
Kevin, I don't think I have to ask this question out loud because we're all thinking it, but what were you doing when you were 9?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
And
that's what this kid should have been doing. He's 9.
He likes to swim.
Smoke some weed. Set something
9.
On fire.
No, don't smoke weed at 9.
Set something on fire. Do something
don't
like
set
other
anything
9-year-olds
on fire.
Do.
Here's a very badly produced and read report from the news in San Francisco yesterday about this event.
Today, a Los Banos boy completed quite the journey. He swam through the San Francisco Bay all the way to Alcatraz and back.
I don't know how he did it, but the 9-year-old is hoping to be the youngest swimmer on record to make the swim. Currently, the title is held by a 10-year-old, and right now, KC24's Janelle Bluda is lucky because she's live in San Francisco. She's been following his journey since the beginning. Good morning, Janelle.
The previous record, again, was held by a 10-year-old
who probably thought, I'm 10.
I'm good.
I've got this record locked in for a long time.
How did this become a thing that we throw little kids into the San Francisco Bay, by the way?
Oh, I think that's always been a thing. Yeah.
I didn't realize
that. All right, let's hear what Janelle has to say. I think at some point she's with the kid.
Good morning, George. Lucky is definitely the word to use here. It's been an emotional day out here, but it wrapped up with smiles and cheers right here on this shore as James walked on after hours in the ocean. Now, James started that swim at 7 o'clock this morning. It took him a little over 2 hours to complete it. But it wasn't all fun and games. James did struggle for a bit out in the open water. About 30 minutes into swim, he says the waves were hitting him and the current was too strong, making it difficult for him to fight them.
Really? So it wasn't easy? It wasn't simple?
It wasn't easy.
Yeah. All right, so at some
you're
point
so
in this,
mad at this
some
child.
Point in this swim, he had to try.
You're so angry.
What? You kid. You kid.
Oh.
You kid.
So let me ask you this, Kevin. I want to ask about the dad in this story. Because this it's not like the dad just waved the kid goodbye and patted him on the head and said, all right, see you in a couple of hours, son. The dad is next to the kid swimming. The dad is in a boat following along with the journey to keep an eye on his boy, okay?
Right.
At some point, the kid started really having trouble, getting hit in the face with the water and going under.
Really? It was
really
difficult
struggling.
For him to swim to Alcatraz and back?
So what's your read on the dad who ups the $100 that he had promised his kid? Keep swimming, kid. I'll give you an extra $100. I'll throw in another hundy. So now it's up to $200. Is the dad doing the right thing by inspiring this kid? Or do you think at that point the dad should be, what am I doing? Making my 9-year-old swim to Alcatraz and pull him out of the water.
You dad. You dad.
The dad offers him $100 to do something that maybe no one else in the world can do.
It does seem a little chintzy,
like,
doesn't it?
Up that a bit. Yeah.
The kid is fighting possibly sharks, which that father is going to be able to do nothing about in his little dinghy with his little
ground.
Don't disparage his dinghy.
You don't know.
You don't
what,
know,
they
man.
Do his ex-wife?
It's
what
cold.
Did you hear? All right, let's go back to Janelle.
But in the end, with help from his coach and a promise from his dad, James found his second wind and was off.
When I wanted to turn back, they kept on going, I believe in you, you could do it.
He's like, I believe in you, you can do it.
I thought words of inspiration. I'm sorry, I thought he said, they said, I'm leaving you.
No. I believe
in you. Sure
I believe
said,
in you.
I'm leaving you.
I don't think that's what he said.
All right,
I don't.
Let me, agree
let me
to disagree.
Okay. Let me go back. But he's 9 and he's very cold, so I think it's tough for him to talk.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I'm going, I believe in you, you can do it.
Yeah, it's I believe in you.
Okay. All right.
And we kind of pushed each other on. I finally got him going. We touched the rock. We turned around, and it was just smooth sailing all the way back home. No trouble at all. So,
well, James's dad had told him that he would give him $100 if James completed the swim today. But while out on that water, you know, when that current got a little bit rough, his dad told him he'd add on another $100. And James says that is what got him going again. He says his next goal is to swim the length of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Dad, I don't think I'm going to make it. Another hundy.
I mean.
Come on.
So now he's going to swim the length of the Golden Gate Bridge. Is that an F you to the whole family?
You kidding, Dad.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
And here at the holidays or anytime all year long, one of our favorite people in the world to talk to is LaQuisha.
Hey, everybody. You know how we have LaQuisha on our show and she likes to review the reality TV shows?
Sure.
Well, we've got her on the line right now and she's ready to review a Christmas classic. Hello, LaQuisha.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. Merry Christmas.
To you, too.
Happy Kwanzaa to you, LaQuisha.
Celebrating no Kwanzaa.
Oh, I thought that
celebrating
was
Christmas.
Okay.
All right. My bad. I'm sorry.
I was flipping around the TV because, as I'm wont to do, you know, because I love watching the television.
You do.
And I came across that show, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. You know that little show?
Yeah, it's a classic. They show it every year.
Yeah, a little cartoon show.
Right.
So I'm watching it for the first time in a long time, and I said, "Damn, there's some things wrong with this show."
That's a perfect Christmas show. They show it every year. What could be wrong with it?
No, it isn't. I'll tell you something, all the little who's down in Whoville, they are celebrating Christmas and getting ready and stuff, and the one person who doesn't want Christmas to come is the Grinch, right?
Right.
That's right.
Every who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not.
Mm-hmm. You know why the Grinch is living outside the city limits?
No, but he doesn't like people.
No, because he's the only colored person in the whole neighborhood.
Oh, LaQuisha, what are you talking about?
All the little who's are all pink and fuzzy and whatnot, and the Grinch, he's got some color. He's green, so he can't live with everybody else. They put him in the slums.
Oh, LaQuisha.
Oh, he's got to be the bad one because he's colored. That's why.
No one is saying that, LaQuisha. That's
exactly
crazy.
What they're saying.
Oh, you're missing the whole point.
I think you're missing the whole point. Mm-hmm. And then the Grinch don't like Christmas because of all the presents and whatnot that the Who's play with.
Right.
And they make a lot of noise and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Like this.
And they play noisy games like Zuzither Kaze.
What the hell is that, Zuzither Kaze?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know what that
what
is.
What the hell he talking about?
Well, it's based on the popular Dr. Seuss children's book, and he was kind of famous for just making up crazy words that sounded funny. That's
well,
that all that's
it. Sound like a job to have for a grown man, making up words? Shut up, Dr. Seuss. Well, anyway, he goes and takes all the toys and whatnot from the Who's, right?
Right.
He breaks into their homes and steals their Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not a secret subliminal racist message.
Oh, come on, LaQuisha.
Oh, the colored Who goes into people's homes and steal their gifts.
That's just not what it's about at all. You're missing the whole point.
Well, it turns out, even though they have no toys to play with and no food and whatnot, the people of Whoville are still happy about Christmas and stuff. And the Grinch, he changes his mind and learns the real meaning of Christmas.
That's right. That's right, LaQuisha. That's a beautiful message that the spirit of Christmas is that it's not about the presents you get. It's about the being together with your friends and family for the holiday.
Yeah, and this is what happens to him when he discovers that.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day.
Oh, like that's a good thing?
His heart grew bigger.
I had a cousin who had an enlarged heart. My cousin, Kleniqua, and she had to go to hospital because her heart got enlarged.
No, but his heart was so tiny to begin with.
That's a lie to say your heart gets big, that's a good thing for Christmas, because she happened to her in the holidays,
LaQuisha,
and she missed out on all the holidays being in a hospital.
LaQuisha, who hurt you?
I'm just saying this show is not right for Christmas time. And then the Grinch, who is colored again, if I remind you, he learns a special lesson. They invite him to come and sit down and carve the rare Who beast or whatever they're cooking, and everybody has a good time. Mm-hmm. Like he steals their stuff, and they're just going to welcome him on in. Oh, sit down. Have yourself a meal. Try that in my neighborhood. You get cut.
Well, no one wants that.
No, but it's the spirit of Christmas. They're saying, we understand what you're going through. You
mm-hmm.
understand what we're going through. Let's all get together and hold hands and have a meal.
Yeah, I know. That's the lesson we're all supposed to
right.
learn. And here's the little lesson everyone gets told at the end of the show.
Christmas Day is in our grasp, so long as we have hands to clasp. Christmas Day will always be just as long as we have we. Welcome Christmas while we stand, heart to heart and hand in hand.
Aw.
I gotta go. I got something in my eye.
Oh, see?
Oh, LaQuisha.
I gotta go now. I gotta get off the phone.
Merry Christmas, LaQuisha.
Oh.
Yellow's on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Allie, did you see that the bassist is sitting out the summer tour? Not going to be touring with the Killers?
I did not.
Yes. I know. Trouble in Paradise. They're your band.
I love them. I can learn bass real quick.
And join them on the road. Why
it's
not?
Easy.
Speaking of great concerts, by the way, how about 21 Pilots at Honda Center? We got tickets to give away for that today. We'll put you in the drawing for the grand prize to go to Reading Festival in England. It's Festival Flyaway 2016, destination number 2. We also have tickets for the Prophets of Rage tomorrow night at the Hollywood Palladium. That is all coming up. Yesterday, as you know, the show got off to a little bit of a rough start.
It hardly got off to the best start ever.
It was amazing.
I was doing a little news story about some nonsense, and I came across a word that, well, I think this moment will explain how I might have had a little trouble pronouncing it properly.
And now, a moment with Bean.
But in the spirit of reciprocity.
One more.
You say it.
No, one more. Reciprocity?
Yes, thank you.
That was a moment with Bean.
So I found
reciprocity. That was my favorite one, I think. Reciprocity.
I found out that I have a word that I apparently cannot say, and that word is reciprocity. And I'm reading it. I do better when I'm looking at the word, although that doesn't explain why I had so much trouble yesterday. And there are some combinations of letters that just make some words difficult to pronounce for some people. Ralph, I was stunned to hear yesterday that you don't think you have a word that you constantly mispronounce or stumble over. Really?
I don't have one word. I mispronounce lots of things lots of times, but there's never mm-hmm. one word that every time I come up on, it's an uh-oh moment saying, this is going to be hard to get through. I just don't have that word.
Well, I didn't. I had entrepreneur for years. For years,
see,
I couldn't
conquered
say that word.
It, though.
I conquered
it.
Yes. And I thought, well, now I'm in the clear. Now I got. There's no
that
word.
That was
I
my
can't.
One word.
Right. There's no word I can't.
So rest apostrophe
until the R word came up. Right. Right. So I thought it might be fun to take some calls from listeners with their word. What is your word that you always have trouble pronouncing or always mispronounce? And it's a speed bump in every sentence. That's what we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. And we also found out early yesterday, Allie, that you have such a word.
I do. I put an L in the word amphitheater. Amphitheater.
There you go.
But to me, it needs to be amphitheater. It needs to, and I think if we all consciously just pronounce it that way, we can change the world.
No.
Amphitheater.
You want us to be wrong with you?
Yeah, if
Is
you
that
would.
What you're asking?
That'd be great. Thank you.
No, let's get the actual pronunciation.
Amphitheater.
There you go.
Oh.
Amphitheater.
Oh,
amphitheater.
See?
Amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
I don't know why I'm a robot, but...
Not sure either, but I like it.
Amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
See, isn't that better?
Amphitheater.
Not amphitheater.
Sounds better.
Just why? Does. Where did that come from? Like, why do you think it's amphitheater?
I feel like it amplifies sound, so it should be, and somebody just screwed it up along the way, and they're like, hey, where'd that L go? Too late. So I feel like it's amphitheater.
But it is pronounced exactly as it's written, though, and you've seen that word your whole life.
Amphitheater.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Theater.
Amphitheater.
So 1-800-520-1067, we want to hear your word. Here's some of the response I got on social media yesterday after I screwed up Joe Announcer?
Reciprocity.
There it is. Reciprocity.
Reciprocity.
Thank you.
Reciprocity.
I heard from
reciprocity.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Reciprocity.
I heard from several listeners who have trouble with, and this is completely understandable to me because there are so many letters in the word Worcestershire. Worcestershire. Now, most of us use it in conjunction with Worcestershire sauce, right? That we put on steak or whatever.
Right.
But it's also a city of Massachusetts.
No, that's Worcester.
Oh, is it Worcester? It's not even a city. It's a city in England, then.
City in England, yes.
City in England, yes.
So now geography is also a problem with you. Pronunciation and geography. We have two sore spots.
Worcestershire, though. That's tough, right?
Well, yeah, people say Worcestershire. Like people cannot get it.
Well, I think some proper nouns, like names of cities and people and things like that, they can be understandably hard to pronounce sometimes.
Yes. All right. Here's one I also heard a lot of, and I've noticed that there are a lot of examples that people gave me yesterday that involve the vowel combination next to an R, like rural.
Rural
is a tough word.
Rural juror.
Rural juror is the toughest thing in the world to say for 30 Rock fans, right? Bobby writes in, peculiar. I can't say peculiar to save my life. That's a tough one, I guess, for him. Ellen, my word is brewery. Again.
Oh, that is tough.
Brewery. I bet that's happened.
Yes.
Heard from a number of people, including Kyle. Ancillary is a word I can't say. Ancillary. Doesn't sound tough, right?
I always thought it was ancillary.
I did too.
Oh, then okay. Then there you go.
That's another one we can put on Bean's list. Ancillary.
And finally,
ancillary.
Bill, thank you.
Ancillary.
Ancillary. Okay, now
ancillary.
I got it.
Ancillary.
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 Ancillary?
Ancillary.
Robot's getting
very upset with you.
And finally, Bill writes in, I can't say the word secretary, and I have
That's just dumb.
Yeah, secretary.
I've heard anonymity is hard for a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
Anonymity.
Oh, that guy got it.
Anonymity.
Okay.
Anonymity.
All right. Let's take a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1067. What is your word? Apparently, I have dozens of them that you have trouble saying. Let's start in Studio City. Please, Chip, give me line 6, and let's bring Joy onto the program and find out what her problem word is. Hey, Joy, welcome to the show. Hey, Joy.
Just lost her.
We lost Joy. What was her word?
Her word was asterisk.
Asterisk.
No.
Asterisk.
Asterisk.
Oh.
Asterisk. Asterisk.
All right.
Not asterisk. What the hell's wrong with you people?
I think that was her problem, too, though.
Asterisk.
All right.
Asterisk.
All right. Let's
asterisk.
Try. But you're saying it like you're saying asshole, though, Mr. Robot. I feel like you're being very judgmental.
Her name was Asterisk.
Let's go to Hawthorne.
Her name was Asterisk.
Line five. Give me some Stacy here, please. Hey, Stacy.
Hi.
Hey, you're there. What's the word?
I can't say the word borrower. Borrower.
No, you can't.
And I used to work in the mortgage business. It was a problem because I had to say it all the time.
Borrower.
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 Borrower. Borrower. Say it.
Mr. Robot.
Borrower.
It's hard, right? Can anybody
else say it? No, it's easy. Borrower.
Well, it's easy for you. What
Borrower.
Can you say
borrower.
It?
I'm going to agree with you, Stacey, that the W next to the R is a little tough.
Oh, my lord.
It is borrower.
What the hell?
Borrower.
Well, whatever. But
okay. All right, Stacey.
I can't say much, Stacey.
Borrower.
We're on the same page.
Borrower.
Thank you. Thank you for the call,
right,
my dear.
All right, Mr. Robot.
All right. 1-800-5
Mr. Robot.
67. What's your word? We'll
Don't
take your call.
Got to.
Next on Kick. All right, getting a lot of reaction talking about words that you have trouble saying. It's just a speed bump in your sentence, like reprisis.
Oh, dear
oh,
Lord.
Wow.
Hold on, Mr. Robot. Has something to
say. Hold on. Reciprocity.
There it is.
It's reciprocity.
It sounds so easy when you say it.
Reciprocity.
Ethan writes in, I struggle with ambiguity. I can say ambiguous without any problems, but I can't say ambiguity. All right. Here's one from Luna. Says, I keep wanting to pronounce it sriracha because that's how it's spelled. Sriracha. It's spelled S-R-I-R-A-C-H-A. So I don't know if that qualifies or not, but I never even noticed that. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start. Let's take them in order here, Chip, real quick, and go to La Mirada first, line one, and say hi to Chris.
Good morning, guys.
Chris, what's your word?
Hello?
Hey, yes.
It's proprietary.
You just said it.
That's a tough one for me.
You did good, Chris.
You just said it, Chris.
Try it again, Chris.
Proprietary.
It's a little slow, but you're getting
it. I know. It's got to come out slow or else I'll stumble over it.
Proprietary.
Yeah. Oh, see? Just the robot knows
robot
what he's talking
nails
about.
He nails it every
proprietary.
Time.
Yeah, he's just showing off. All right, Chris, well done. I think you're halfway toward conquering
your beauty. He's a robot. He's not showing off.
Let's try Sean in Northridge. Up next, he's on line two. Hey, Sean, welcome to the Kevin DeBeach Show. What's your word?
My word is damn it. Statistic.
Statistic.
I have, yeah, I don't know what it is, but I mean, I can be talking a mile, you know, I mean, a word a second or whatever, you know, just going really, really super fast. And once I get to that word, it's statistic. I have to say it as slow as I possibly can.
And what do you suppose that's about? Because that's a word that is pronounced exactly the way it's spelled. There's no secret there.
You know, I used to not have a problem, but then I screwed it up once. And I could not say it. It just would not come out. And ever since then, it's just
mental block.
Like a brain fart.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it every might be time. Maybe where the tongue placement end is, because tistic.
Go on.
Your tongue is at the roof of your mouth twice, and maybe it gets confused, like statistic, like that.
See? Statistic.
Yeah.
Statistic.
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 All right.
I don't know if I said it right there.
You did. Well done, Sean. Appreciate the call, sir. Let's go to line five and down to Fullerton and say hi to Jeff. Now, I got to be honest. I think I might be with Jeff on this one, being a tough word. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. My radio debut. I'm confessing how retarded I am. I just can't say thousandths. One thousandth of an inch.
Thousandth.
There's too many THs in there.
It's not an S at the end. It's not thousandths.
Okay, there's many S's at the end.
No, there are no S's at the end.
Not one.
So it starts with a TH and ends with a TH, and that trips you up.
I guess so.
Thousands.
I think it always has.
Thousands.
Okay. Oh, hey, there you go.
Tina, I need to ask you about realistic. Realistic bothers me. Whenever you say realistic, it's not realistic, it's realistic.
Yeah, Bean does say realistic.
Oh, really?
So why can't he fix that?
He doesn't know that?
So wait, hold on.
Wait, how do you say it?
How do I say it?
No, how does Bean say it?
Bean says realistic.
No, it's realistic.
Right, but Bean says realistic.
So you're saying I'm screwing up the E sound in realistic.
Yeah, you're saying as if it's R-I-L.
Oh, it's like realistic.
Yeah, you're saying okay. Like it's realistic.
Okay, all right, well, good.
You just roll right through it.
Yeah. It's been a learning experience for me. Thank you very much.
A lot of people upset, Bean.
So Jeff's radio debut, and he's hounding the host. That's what's happening here. All right, let's try Ursi. That's a name I have trouble with. She's in Gardena. She's on line 6 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ursi, what's your word?
My word is Amberlance.
It's
ambulance.
Right.
I can't say it unless I say it really slow. So if I'm dying and I need to get to the hospital, I'm like, call the ambulance.
They're not going to know who to call.
What does she mean?
I don't know who to call. It's so bad.
Who's Amber Lance? Why does she want us to call her?
Looking at her phone.
Who's Amber? No. Is that her emergency contact? Amber Lance, is there an Amber Lance in the room? Amber Lance, are you here?
Ursi, good luck with that. I hope you never need one. All right. Gosh, we got so many good ones we're not going to have time to get to. We don't have time for specific, for compilation. Let's do a couple more. Let's talk to Julie Claremont, please, line 1. This is a tough one.
Hi there.
Hi, Julie. What's your word?
My word is unconscionable, like a horrific act, an unconscionable.
Nope.
I nope. Okay.
Right.
Nope.
Still no.
It's not unconscionable. It's unconscionable. Unconscionable.
Unconscionable.
Unconscionable.
Yeah. Can't
unconscionable.
Say it very... Unconscionable.
There you go. All right.
It just still makes me say it after not saying it many times over. I just can't get
it
out.
Never stop saying it all day long, and you'll be
right?
Fine.
Mission accomplished. Thank you, Julie. Let's do one more because I'm fascinated with Tommy on line 8. Let's see if there's any way to mispronounce his word. I don't get it. Tommy, welcome to the show, sir.
Morning, guys. Bean, Ralph, Allie.
What's your word?
I think my problem is more in line with Allie's in that I think the entire pronunciation of the word just needs to change.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're wrong, you're right.
I constantly want to pronounce the word Ontario. So, that one was the correct one. See,
right, Ontario, right.
Correct.
Yeah, Ontario.
Ontario. That's Ontario is the one that I always pronounce it that way, and I usually have to think right before I say it, okay, which way is the way it's pronounced? Because Ontario just seems, it's so wrong.
Okay, I don't know where to start, but I mean
Ontario is like Mario.
Ontario. How's that not Ontario? And then,
but where does that
usually when I say it, there's a pause right before I say the word.
Right, but where does that even come from? Like, did you just make that up one day? Because you've never heard anyone else say it that way.
I don't know. How does amphitheater come up?
Oh, see, snap. Tommy, you're right. Amphitheater. That's how you say it.
Oh, if there were an amphitheater in Ontario, man, we would be in business. Tatiana adds to our discussion, I always pronounce frustrating as frustrating.
Oh, there's
my
a
friends
lot of that.
Hassle me every time. I think Kanye West is guilty of that as well. Isn't he a frustrator?
Yeah, there's a guy in The Bachelorette, too, who constantly says that.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating to see you go out with other guys when I'm waiting here for a date. I'm so frustrated. This house is full of frustration.
Like, where does that come from?
Laziness. A lot
How
of
does
laziness.
Start?
It's
I
like
guess.
When we're talking about brewery.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's a lot of work to make your mouth say brewery. So I think a lot of people say brewery.
Yeah.
Because it's just right. You start running stuff together and just kind of
we just
slop
put an
it.
Asterisk by all these
it's
words.
It's not an asterisk.
Asterisk.
It's an asterisk.
Asterisk.
So you
come
say.
On.
No. So everyone should say.
I knew a guy in Ontario who had a lot of trouble with that.
Ontario sounds like a planet that Captain Kirk and Spock would visit in the third season.
He just wasn't being realistic. Hey, Jonah Ray is here. He'll join us.
Sure is.
Coming up right after the top of the hour.
All right, Stu, we call these cans.
Cans.
Uh-huh. And then this is a microphone.
Microphone.
And you talk into
to
the
microphone.
Right.
This is all new to me.
And then people can hear you.
Who?
Stu Mundell is here.
Yeah, he is.
How about that?
Yeah?
Welcome.
I am so stoked to be here. You have no clue. Kevin and Bean, K-Rock, and that's not like a plug, and I'm sure you guys hear it all the time, but I am so happy to be here.
You grew up here.
I grew up out here. Mm-hmm. I grew up here listening to you guys. For real.
Yes, Bean?
I was going to ask you. You listened before Kevin and Bean, even though. When you grew up even before our show got on the air.
I heard the first song I heard on K-Rock, and it's ingrained in my mind, was Trio's Da Da Da,
and I think it was at a Zodi's. They went out of business. And I remember being a kid and hearing that and going, what is that? And looking on the radio. And then I, like, was, you know, back then you had to remember it. And
sure.
And then from then on in, I listened to K-Rock for
forever.
I
love that song. I still love that song when I hear that. You know the song he's talking about, Kevin? The da-da-da.
Yes.
I don't like you, you don't like me. That By the way, Stu, you'll love this. Richard Blade on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow.
No way.
Stopping by. He's got a book out. Yeah. So that's your era.
Is he still doing the dive thing, like in Bermuda?
No, he's on the Sirius satellite radio, and he's doing a bunch of stuff around town. We'll catch up with young Dick Blade tomorrow on the show. But it's so great to have you here. You are your job title. Is this what you put on your tax returns, is aerial photo journalist?
I write photographer, just because I don't, you know, the other one sounds so, I don't know. It sounds so posh.
It does sound like you're trying too hard.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm a photographer. When people ask me what I do, I'm just like, yeah, I work in television.
Here's some of Stu's work.
Oh my God. She's trying to take the LAPD cruiser. Whoa! Praying that it doesn't. Whoa! Whoa!
Whoa!
Whoa! Whoa!
There we go. Making another turn onto another major. Also got to let you guys know, if you're listening in your local, I'm going to be on Kevin and Bean on Wednesday.
That's today.
So Wednesday morning, Kevin and Bean. It is pretty nifty.
Thank you for the plug, Sue. Appreciate that. So how long have you been our eye in the sky for CBS television in L.A.?
Well, for CBS, on their payroll, this gets kind of murky, but on their payroll, 4 years now.
Coming up on four years
in December.
Okay.
But before that, I was like an independent contractor, but I've been there for quite a while. And,
yeah.
I've been on everybody's barn, and meaning all the stations, and I just love the guys at CBS.
Do you love this job? Do you love what you do?
Of course. I mean,
Tell me why.
The worst day, and it's a job, everybody in this business has got to know. It's like it becomes a grind, but then sometimes you just got to stop. And I'm like, I'm flying in a helicopter looking at stuff and talking to people. I mean, does it get any better than that? I mean, it's the coolest job ever.
Yeah. What is your personal opinion of car chases? In other words, when one starts and you go to cover it, are you excited about it? Are you bored by it? Are you looking forward to it? Do you dread it? What's going through your mind, Steve?
Well, if the first natural response is tense, and anybody that works with me will probably attest to this, it's like, I got all these people in my ears. When are you going to be there? Where is it now? You know, they're asking me all these questions. And at that same time, I'm trying to make sure I know where it is, get the information to the pilot so we can get there in a timely manner. You know, we're listening to a scanner. And it isn't like there's somebody talking to me saying, we're right here. You got to grab these pieces of information when you can. Anyway, so it's tense. It's like so tense. And once we're there, that's when I'm always like, okay, we're here. Now what?
And now you talk for 11 hours straight.
Sometimes.
To describe what's going on.
And sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's stuff that we're like, you know, even up in the helicopter, like, wow, this is awesome. And then sometimes we're just like, I can't. Can this come to an end?
I was defending you one time on Facebook.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it was. Do you remember the standoff that there was? Where there was an RV and a motorhome?
Yep.
There was a woman in the motorhome, and she was throwing everything out.
Yep.
And everybody was getting so mad at Stu. They were like, stop calling it a motorhome. It's an RV. Stop calling it an RV. It's a motorhome.
Yep.
And I was like, leave Stu alone. He's doing fine. Do you get a lot of feedback on your coverage, Stu?
You know what? This is the reason why I love the time I live in, we all live in. It's the internet. I can get instant feedback, and I try to talk to everybody. I try to interact with anybody that's interacting with me. I make that effort to interact back, and it's good, bad, whatever it is, as long as it's kind of funny, I'm all about it. And that's what it is. And I love it when we go to the internet, when these chases are happening, and we can do internet stuff, because I can literally open up my Facebook, and if I have some sort of internet signal, I can read comments, and I can
from the air.
Yeah, I can get the feel for what everybody else is seeing, because sometimes, you know, I'm in that little box up there with my pilot, and most of the time, pilot's super awesome. And when we sit there, and it's a team, and I got people in my ear and talking, but I don't know what everybody else is thinking. And now I can go ahead and just I get the vibe. I get, like, are people getting bored? Are people thinking, why are they not doing something? You know, you can really interact with the public.
In that instance, you tried a few times to say it the way they wanted you to say it, whichever way it was.
Right.
And then you just gave up. You're just like, okay, well, yeah, it doesn't matter, because really it doesn't matter.
Right. And I think, and that's one of the reasons I love the station I work for, CBS KCAL. I mean, they embrace the stew, you know?
That just happened.
Yeah, that just happened. And, you know, in the old days, it was,
I loved it and never say it again.
Can I ask you a question?
No, please.
Are you controlling the camera as well?
Yeah, I run the camera.
Okay.
I don't fly the helicopter.
No,
I don't fly the helicopter.
I did say pilot maybe 10 times. So that's my bad.
And, you know, some of my pilot buddies actually texted me on that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did. They were like, oh, now you're a pilot, Stu.
Sorry, pilots.
So you're controlling it. So when you're like, let me zoom in on this, that's you zooming in. Okay. Yeah.
And that's like my safety blanket. That's like my little security blanket. When I hold that, like when I do training and I'm not sitting there, I realize it's like I need that camera, because it's like that is second nature to me. I've been running a camera since the 90s, and it is just second nature. And when I have the control, like it's like a security blanket.
Yeah.
Like right now, I'm nervous because I don't have my camera. I'm like trying to grab my camera.
Well, you got to embrace the stew.
Yeah, I got to embrace the stew.
What's your takeaway from covering 100 car chases, probably from above, about the mindset of the person behind the wheel? What have you learned to expect?
You know what? I have learned to never try never to put myself into that corner where I have to say, what is this guy thinking? Because when I say that, I'm thinking to myself, why did you just say that? Because you have no idea.
There's no way to know, right?
Nobody knows what these guys are thinking. What I can say, though, is, you know, there's every now and then there's people that will write, we're the problem. You know, media is the problem.
Because you're covering it.
Right.
And the TV channels are covering
it. Right. And we're just giving this guy his fame. You know what? I have never in my life had, you know, an aftermath where the guy says, I did that to be on television.
Mm.
Nobody's ever said that. I've never seen that. And actually, I've seen the opposite. It's like they don't want the media there. They're giving us those waves every now and then where you kind of go, oh, look, he's gesturing to us.
Well, once you're above them, Stu, once you and the copter are above them, you virtually assure they're going to get caught. They can't get away if you've got eyes on them, right?
Well, you know, my wife, she coined the phrase sky snitch. And that really, really, really stuck. And I let it out one time. I actually said it on the air, and it really it stuck. But I think they mean it in a loving way. We're not the cops. We're the media. And we'll follow them. And I'm just curious. I mean, it's curiosity. I want to see where this guy's going. I want to see where it's going to end.
I will say this about car chases and people that get mad and you're giving them publicity. I have seen on paper the rating spike whenever there's a car chase. And now more than ever, because of social media, I used to do local news here.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, I used to get some like, oh man, segment got cut because of this car chase. Until I was at a place that had a huge TV and I watched everybody from my live shot gravitate to the TV and they would not look away. And I thought, this is everyone at home.
Yeah.
This is why we do it.
They're ratings gold, right, Stu?
Oh, ratings gold.
I have a whole network of people who text me or tweet me or whatever that let me know that there's a chase on.
There's social media groups. Yeah. There's like LA police group or something, police chase group. And the people that are on there, they obviously interact with me. And they're on Facebook and there's other places. But yeah, I mean, I said it on the pickup truck chase. I said it's become a culture because the pickup truck chase, that was a little odd. You know, LAPD has got this new thing now where they're trying to be the kinder, gentler LAPD.
Right.
They're just going to let you go. And it's an odd spot for the media, because what do we do now?
So. Have you ever been involved in a situation, Stu? I know it's happened in the LA media before, where you've been covering something that just turned horrible and tragic, and it's now on the air live, and you've got to deal with the repercussions of that.
Yes. One of my first chases where I embraced the inner stew, it went very south. It was one of those ones where this guy's showboating and he's driving around Hollywood. I'm sure you guys will maybe, and you know, the real pursuity people will remember it. He pulls into a gas station and the cops just shot him. I mean, not just once. I mean, it was a barrage of bullets, and there were people pumping gas and there were people running and hiding, And it caught me way off guard, and it was, I think, was one of my first, you know, the whoa, because I was not expecting that.
No.
Yeah.
And I was, and instantly I was, you know, I realized, you know, the guy in the car is obviously shot, but I was worried about all these people pumping gas.
Right. No kidding. Yeah.
And I actually moved the camera, and that was a meeting. Why did you cut off the car?
Do you have a favorite?
Do I have a favorite?
Yeah.
Everybody always asks that. I like the ones, and it's the thing too. I got to be careful with like, because you know we don't like the chases.
I love the chases. I'll say it.
I like the showboaty ones. We were talking, my wife and I were talking about it on the way down. There was a motorcycle one where the guy was like standing up and doing the Jesus. You can't. It's radio. You can't see me.
He was standing on the seat.
He was standing on the seat. Oh, and he was like holding his arms up as he was driving, and he was just showboating it up. And I actually got a hold of that guy on Instagram, and I followed him, and I think he followed me back. And then there was
you're coming for dinner. Yeah. What about the guys in the convertible that were chucking bread out?
Chucking the bread?
They were chucking loaves of bread, but then they got boxed in by the TMZ bus.
Oh, that one. That was the one in the rain.
Yes.
And, you know, that's it, for some reason, that one, it was too showboaty.
I liked it because I thought they were throwing out a mixtape, but then it turned out to be bread.
And they were doing selfies. And then at the end, they were, like, waiting for the cops to arrest them. And that was the thing, too. It's like a lot of this stuff doesn't get on the air because there's just not enough time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so funny to hear these officers. They're like, no, it's your pursuit. No, it's your pursuit. Well, okay, well, we don't have a car in that area. And they were just, it was like they didn't want to touch this guy. They were just like, you know, it's yours. It's
wasn't
yours.
There one in Santa Monica where a guy got out in bra and panties?
I don't remember that one. Wow. I don't remember that one. That might have been in the morning. It was like a morning show.
Yeah, it does.
Would we be amazed at how much you're hearing in your headset while you're up there?
Yeah, you would.
You got a lot of sources hitting you, right?
Yeah, and I think, again, KCAL, CBS, they've gotten to the point where when the chase is happening, they kind of stay away. Every now and then I'll get people just asking me, like, questions like, where are you now? And you know, we don't have the fancy moving map. I've got an iPad, you know, and my eyes. I can look out the window, and I can kind of figure out where we are. And then, of course, we can listen if we can. Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. But where we are is always the big question. And when they shout that out, I'm always thinking to myself, if I knew, I'd say it. Come on, guys.
do you ever, just being up in the air hours every day, have you ever encountered any mechanical trouble or any weather or any time where you thought maybe you were in danger?
We could do a whole show on that.
Really?
Yeah, there's been a couple of times. I've never been in an actual precautionary landing or emergency landing. Well, no, there was a precautionary landing. We had one where we had it's called a high side governor, and we basically, the pilot had to control the speed of the engine by the amount of fuel, which isn't the way do it, but it was one of those. It was a mechanical. It was years ago. We've had a couple bad weather winds.
I bet.
The helicopter does not like the wind. And sometimes we get those Santa Anas, and there was one time a
you
pilot.
Ever get sick?
No, I've never gotten sick. I've always been blessed with that. Have never gotten sick. But I had a pilot that, I'll say his name, Chip, was the pilot, Chip Page. And he was screaming, engine out! Engine out! He was
freaking out. Oh, my God.
And I was just like, what?
And don't
say that. It almost rolled us over. I mean, it was a lot of wind. It was probably one of the worst we've ever had. Oh, and then there was another one, winds, where we got slammed. It was that's the thing. They're like, hey, there's all these high winds. There's trees down. There's wires down. Can you fly the helicopter out there and take a look? And we were there, and Dan was my pilot, and we got hit so hard it literally threw the breakers for all the equipment. Like the camera and everything went off, and they didn't know where we were because the radios went off.
Wow.
And I never wear my seatbelt. It hit my head on the ceiling. That's how bad it was. I mean, we got slammed hard.
Did you watch any of the Dodger game last night? Did you hover just far enough out with your camera?
We got to watch some of them leaving. Yesterday was really, really busy.
Oh, it was, okay.
But we did see the first one, and I got emotional. They did the flag. I was just like, wow, that is awesome. And then the flyover was freaking so cool.
Yeah.
And but yeah, we're not allowed to watch the game.
All right, last question, because we're out of time with great Stu Mundell from KCAL and CBS Channel 2. He's in the helicopter doing your car chase coverage. And that is, what's your relationship like with the other men and women who do your job for other TV stations? Are you guys friendly or are you competitive?
Very competitive. It is very competitive, but they are all colleagues. It is a very small small group.
If you run into them on the street, there's a fight, though, right?
No,
yeah, it's
no.
like West Side Story.
I mean, are you ever hovered? Like, there's a couple. When you're over a chase, are you ever all hovered in a very small airspace?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's been times where I've looked up and I go, hey, did he get a new watch? You know, in the helicopter. So we get super close. It's super tight up there. Safety is always the issue.
Sure.
All the pilots, everybody knows everybody, and we know each other very well. So we know what to expect from each other. Mm-hmm. And of course, we all know each other, and we're all – I'm doing the air quotes. I know it's radio. You can't see me. We're all friendly.
I got to tell you, we're out of time, unfortunately, because you were late, because you got stuck in traffic.
which
I find very funny.
Hysterical.
Because you sit over in a helicopter and talk about traffic all day long.
I am the traffic.
Right. You're in the middle of it. Well, we appreciate you coming in very much.
I love being here. This is awesome.
Thank you, Stu. You're welcome anytime, my friend.
Yes.
Still to come on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to give you a pair of 3-day passes to the Ohana Festival at Doheny. This is a great lineup, by the way, with Social Distortion and Eddie Vedder and the Pixies, TV on the Radio, and so much more. Those tickets on the way on K-Rock. First, though, Allie.
Yeah.
You stumbled into a corner of the internet the other day mm-hmm. that really had people engaged.
Yeah.
People were getting furious about some of the things that were being posted. What happened?
Fired up. Yeah. It's a guy named Chuck who goes by @IvyChat, and this was his tweet. Let's play movie confession. Name a movie everyone loves and you despise. I'll go first. Forrest Gump. And 6,800 responses later, and I mean, you scroll through this guy's timeline, he's fighting with people like, how dare you say that about this movie, that type of thing. But then it got me thinking, so I posted it a couple days ago as well, and the movie that I...
Now, before you say yours,
yeah,
let's debate Forrest Gump for a second. Because I've thought about Forrest Gump a lot. Mm-hmm. It's not a movie... I loved it when it came out, like okay. I think everybody did. But it seems now like a novelty movie to me.
I don't think we're talking about movies that hold up. I think we're just talking about first viewing. You loved it.
Like, he hated it first thing. He's not. It's not like 10 years later, he's not interested.
No, we're not talking about holding up.
So he walked out of that theater after seeing that amazing technological achievement and wasn't impressed. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, what did you come up with?
Well, mine was very easy for me. And it might have been because I was doing the news in Utah at the time, and I was so inundated with this movie because the producers were from BYU. The writers were living in Utah. The star of the movie was a Utahn. So it was just everywhere. But if we're honest with ourselves, you could admit that this movie blows. Napoleon freaking Dynamite.
How?
Not funny.
Dare you?
Not good.
It's a phenomenal and hilarious movie. It has so many great characters in it.
Does it?
Vote for Pedro. Tina, come get some ham. Oh, it's so good.
All right. See, that's the whole point of this. A movie that everybody loves and you despise.
As long as we understand that you're wrong in this case.
Incorrect.
Though, right?
Incorrect.
So you say Napoleon Dynamite.
I do. I say it loud and I say it proud.
Now, was it a case, as Kevin always says, he feels like your enjoyment of a movie. Remember Kevin used to be on the show, the Kevin Times?
I don't.
He says that your enjoyment of the movie can sometimes be colored by your expectations walking into the theater. Were you in a situation where everybody raved about how great it was and you were disappointed because of that?
No, I saw it right away because it was such a strong Utah movie. I saw it before mm-hmm. people loved it.
All right, so you weren't hyped out of it. Okay.
I wasn't. I just didn't like it.
We're going to take your calls on this, by the way, so you understand the category. We're talking about movies that everyone else loves, but you never understood why. You don't get it. That's what we want from you at 1-800-520-1067. That's the same number. If you want to call us, we'd love that, or you can text us if you can't get to the phone. Sister Producer Christine, you're up.
Hey, guys. So maybe actually I might be a victim of that thing you were just talking about with Kevin about this like great expectation mm-hmm. that is placed on this movie that you go into thinking, wow, this is going to be the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
There's literally one movie I've fallen asleep in my entire life.
Okay.
Avatar.
Wow.
I didn't like Avatar either.
You didn't like it either.
It was boring.
It was so boring. And that guy, Sam Worthington, is so hot. And I thought at least that would be enough. Mm-hmm. But
Why do you suppose... I never saw Avatar, by the way, so I can't comment on how I feel about it. But why do you suppose it became the number one box office hit of all time? Like, literally, it's made so much more movie than anything else ever.
Right. So much more movie and more money.
Was it? Yeah, right. Was it just the technology of it that people just wanted to see how beautiful it looked because that's what James Cameron does? You think the story was weak? It just looked pretty?
I think so. Yeah, it looked pretty. Yeah. And I think the story was something that I thought I would really love. Like, that on paper looks like, wow, that's going to be the greatest movie of all time.
But blue boobies.
I guess. I don't know.
So you're not lined up for the four sequels that are coming for Avatar.
No. I don't think anyone is.
No.
I'm worried about that, too. All right. Before we get to some calls, again, 1-800-520-1067. Let me tell you mine and see if you guys disagree. This was a film from a couple of years ago that was on every single critic's list, not just in the top 10, but at the top five movies of the year. It was nominated for 6 Academy Awards, and it won at least one that I'm thinking of for Roseanne Arquette. And the movie I'm talking about, or Patricia Arquette, I guess it was, the movie I'm talking about is Richard Linklater's Boyhood. Boyhood was the one that was shot, remember, over the course of like 15 years. They would shoot a scene and then come back 3 years later and shoot another scene. And it was a movie about a little kid growing up from being young to being a young adult. And I get that there was a novelty factor involved because we've never seen a movie made like that. But it just was so boring to me. Like, nothing ever happened in my mind. Am I wrong about Boyhood?
I loved it so much.
What did I miss about Boyhood besides the fact that it was kind of neat to see this cute kid grow up?
I thought the acting was so good. And it's one of those movies that, okay, it's opposite of Avatar. There isn't a lot happening. But sometimes I think with those, if you like that kind of story and that kind of movie where it really plays on human emotions and
relationships. It wasn't like this was a kid who was having to struggle like because he was an orphan or something like that. It was just a family, and there was, you know, a little bit of conflict with a divorce and whatnot, but nothing really happened in it.
I think that's why it was so nice, though. It didn't have to be explosions and, I don't know, a monster or clowns or anything.
But you know me. I'm not into any of that stuff. I like a good just drama. You know what I mean?
He loves human emotions.
That's true.
And by the way, I'm also such a huge Richard Linklater fan, too. I mean, I loved Slacker, and I loved Dazed and Confused and the Sunrise movies and, you know, so many other School of Rock. And he's just done so many other movies. I just didn't get Boyhood. And it was it just drove me crazy that it was just adored so much. I couldn't figure it out.
All right. Yeah, it's fair. You're allowed not to love it. Yeah.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's take one right before the break just so we can go into the commercials feeling enraged. And let's make it Kim in Pasadena online, too. Kim, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. Everyone loved this movie but you. What was it?
Hello, Kim. I don't lose you with mine.
Hi. All right. Go ahead.
Princess Bride.
Get off my phone. What is wrong with you? Who hurt you, Kim?
Princess Bride.
I mean, what happened?
I tried to gnaw my arm off just to give myself something else to focus on. I gave that movie 2 tries. I did. The writing, the characters, they're so stupid.
And by stupid, you mean perfect, I think, right? I guess your phone's breaking up because it sounded like you said stupid.
Yeah, no sense is being made with Kim right now.
All right, Kim, we are going to let you back to your sad, lonely life. Thank you for calling. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on this topic on K-Rock. I don't think we can go on with this topic. I'm getting too upset, Allie.
I agree.
I'm getting too mad. Mark from La Puente writes in, actually texts in the 626, Frozen was horrible. From the 209, I love a good musical. I was so excited for La La Land. What the F? So boring.
Amen.
Don't know how it won so many awards.
Amen.
You're wrong. Sit down.
All right.
Let's take one call before we get into some Offspring and then more calls on this topic. The movie that everyone else loved and you hated. Let's bring up Andrew in Inglewood, please, line 8. Andrew, what say you?
I want to say it out loud. Star Wars A New Hope. It is boring.
How dare you?
Andrew,
what is...
I love the franchise. The franchise is great, but that...
Then how can you not like the first movie?
Maybe I'm too young. I'm 30. I saw it as an adult. It just doesn't hold up. But the first viewing, seeing it as an adult, it is outdated. Ugh.
It's outdated.
That's where you fail.
You think?
I can't think of a single thing that you could do
to
improve. I'll take Jar
Jar Binks any day.
Oh, my God. My phone, Andrew.
I said it.
Fire must cleanse us.
We'll take more calls coming up next on K-Rock. All right, we're going to get right back to your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067 on the movie that everyone else liked but you hated. Allie, you saw this on fire on the internet a few days ago. And I guess the takeaway has to be that movies are subjective and it's okay if you don't like a movie, but it is weird. Like, Melissa hated Pulp Fiction, for instance. She Facebooked us. She hates Pulp. That's a movie that I don't know a single person who didn't walk out of thinking, I've just seen one of the greatest cinema achievements of all time.
Right.
Here's one from 310. Luigi says, The Big Lebowski, so boring. Oh, and dear. Then people told me to try watching it high, so I did that, and it still sucked.
No.
Chris on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. And I, again, fire must cleanse us. Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean, come on. Right?
What from about the Sweet Hannah, who texted, people think I'm crazy, but I don't like Step Brothers at all.
There's no excuse for not liking Step Brothers. But, I mean, I guess that's why these are in the category of movies that you're alone in disliking.
Yeah.
All right, let's squeeze in a few more, you guys. Let's take Christy Anaheim Line 2 up first this segment, 1-800-520-1067. Christy, don't come at me with what I think you're about to come at me with.
I'm with Christy.
What do you got?
I hate Titanic.
Thank you.
I was so screaming in the theater for it to be over. I just couldn't stand it.
So you were happy when you were delighted when the tanker hit the iceberg.
Sorry. Stuff in the water everywhere, and he wouldn't climb on anything, but he puts her up on something, and he sits her and drowns.
I mean, spoiler alert, Christy.
That does not make sense. There was stuff everywhere.
He
could have climbed on something, too.
I didn't see it.
It was driving me crazy.
Hold on a second, Christy. Allie, you didn't see Titanic, which until Avatar was the biggest box office hit of all time.
You did yourself a favor, Allie.
Didn't interest me.
This is my movie, too.
Yeah, Chip hated it,
really?
Yeah. It's long. It's boring. The best part is when the ship is sinking and the guy falls and hits a propeller and starts spinning on the way down into the water.
Uh-huh.
Makes me laugh. That's the only good part of that movie.
Oh, no. But let me ask you girls, Christy and Chip, don't you have hearts? What about, forget the shipwreck, what about the love story between Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio?
Not for this one.
It was stupid. She had just barely met him, and she was supposed to be marrying the other guy, even though he was a jerk.
But he's Leonardo DiCaprio, and she fell instantly head over heels in love.
Billy Zane.
All right. Look, the point of this wasn't for us to try to talk you out of it, but just to tell you that you're wrong. Thank you, Christy. Appreciate it. Let's go to Lawrence, Roland Heights, up next, line one. All right, Lawrence, great movie. Everyone else says you say no. What is it?
Yeah, I think Goodfellas is way too overrated and bordering lousy.
I just...
I'm sorry, it is just too artsy. There's no direction. It is all over.
There's all direction. It's the most directed movie ever. Martin Scorsese, every scene in that movie should be shown in a cinema film class.
See,
you know, that kind of film class,
so
the cinema ones.
I mean, it's too artsy. I mean, it opens up with, I've always wanted to be in the mob, and you're looking down on Red. It's like, oh, give me a break. And oh, let me guess, he wants to get out, too? Oh, yeah, that's exactly how, yeah. Oh,
all right, Lawrence.
Better. I loved Casino.
Okay, you're a weirdo, but thank you for the call.
Now
appreciate
go home
that.
And get your effing shine box.
There you go, right?
Huh?
Oh, my gosh, we've got so many good ones here. Let's try Jonathan LaHabra, line three, please. Jonathan? Seriously, a lot of people are going to hate you, but go ahead and say it.
Both Guardians of the Galaxy movies are terrible movies.
I mean, where are you coming from? Did you watch it with your eyes closed?
I should have. It was so those movies have the worst. The CGI is terrible in both of them. And in both movies, the solutions to their problems in the movies, they totally pull out their butt. Like, they told you in the first one, the whole movie, don't touch the rocks, you'll die. They touch the rocks at the end, they live, and they said, oh, it's because your dad, something at the end. That was their solution to the whole movie.
Jonathan, I just want to point out that you don't think Guardians of the Galaxy was realistic.
I mean, thank you for the call, sir.
Just by definition, it's kind of
appreciate that. Let's squeeze in a couple more. Let's go to Tamara in Glendale. Now, this is an interesting one because this is a movie that a lot of people didn't love when it came out, but it has become a cult classic. Mm-hmm. Millions of people adore this movie now. Let's find out why Tamara does it. Welcome to the show, my dear. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you. Good morning.
What's your film?
I hated, with a passion, Office Space, and I still do.
Oh, I can't not watch Office Space if it's on cable. It's one of my favorite movies ever.
I hate the bling. I hate that stupid restaurant. I hate
this. You need some more flair. That would make you feel better if you had a little more flair on your vest.
Flair. I absolutely hate the flair. I hated everything. I hated the stapler guy.
How do you hate the stapler guy?
He has asthma.
He has no... He's not even on the payroll.
That's right. He's not on the payroll.
He still keeps coming to work every day. Don't touch his stapler. Oh, sorry, Tamara. I don't know who hurt you, but I feel terrible for you. Thank you for the call. I wish we had more time for these, but I think we're going to put this up on Facebook. If we didn't get to yours, please go to the Kevin Abede Facebook page and add yours to the list.
I don't want to reopen the can of worms, but from Facebook...
Anything by Wes Anderson, I hate.
Oh.
That guy churns out the same movie over and over again and is praised for it. He is the Michael Bay of hipsters, this listener says. And I'm not going to embarrass this listener by using his name because he will be unemployable and
What's
undateable.
What's his name?
Actually, I don't know. They didn't put it up.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah.
With the Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah.
And Rushmore.
Moonrise Kingdom.
I mean, the Grand Budapest Hotel.
I know.
Wes Anderson.
I know.
Okay, we need to move on.